Leon Black, the billionaire co-founder of Apollo Global Management, has long been tied to the Jeffrey Epstein scandal through massive payments and a close association that he himself has called a horrible mistake. Yet he shelled out $62.5 million in 2023 to the U.S. Virgin Islands to settle and avoid any potential claims tied to Epstein's operations there, where some of those funds indirectly supported Epstein's island empire.
The headline should be Leon Black paid Jeffrey Epstein $158 million for services over 5 years as like a tax advisor. This is a story of a U.S. billionaire paying a convicted sex offender hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, with the lending, it brings in $200 million into Jeffrey Epstein. And the report found that he visited Epstein's home in New York multiple times and his other homes around the world as well. In order to, like, what, cut his tax bill by $1 or $2 billion, which even that strikes me as concerning.
The leaked document from the Epstein files from 2026 DOJ releases consists of heavily redacted attorney notes from a May 2023 call. Multiple women accused Black of violent rape, often under the guise of massages. One described 7 to 8 years of sadistic abuse, including vaginal biting, causing excruciating pain and bleeding. Another claimed a brutal assault with head slamming. A third, a developmentally disabled 16-year-old girl with autism and mosaic Down syndrome, alleged trafficking by Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, forced to massage Black naked, then violently raped, causing severe rectal and vaginal injuries. Of course, Black has vehemently denied all involvement, calling the accusations baseless, uncorroborated, insisting he's never met certain accusers. And now the outrage is exploding nationwide because Life Touch, the company behind school pictures for countless American kids across the country, is owned by Shutterfly, which Apollo Global Management controls through its funds.
The rumors have caused concern among parents around the country.
No one really thought anything of it until we started thinking about, okay, wait, who actually is seeing these pictures instead of just the parents?
LifeTouch, too, has responded, releasing a statement which reads in part, LifeTouch is not named in the Epstein files. The documents contain no allegations that LifeTouch itself was involved in or that student photos were used in any illicit activities.
You want to know who owns those photos, and that's typically done by contract, and what can be done with the photos later between you and the photographer.
Stephen Clark is a South Bay-based attorney. He says it's important to read the fine print on consent forms for things like school photo shoots. Tech expert Ahmed Banafa agrees, especially given the chance of a data breach.
About 5 million pictures being sold on the dark web in 2023.
Meanwhile, in the latest torrent of Epstein documents, Woody Allen and Jess Staley emerge as another grotesque thread in the financier's web of influence. Allen pops up repeatedly in scheduling logs and emails, with Epstein even paying $15,000 for their kids' elite private school tuition. Emails between Woody Allen and Epstein reveal a conversation about cannibalism. Epstein says he didn't just cause heartburn, he ate them. Epstein says hearts. Then Allen says thanks. Allen says, at least I'm thinner. Epstein says, because you also eat the bones, providing fiber. Allen says, I don't like waste. Staley, the former J.P. Morgan rainmaker turned Barclays CEO, exchanged over 1,000 emails, some laced with creepy Disney princess references and young women's photos.
And so the New World Order is in deep trouble. They're basically done. And we should focus on the files we're suppressing. We should focus on the cover-up, but also focus on what we got.
A financial kingpin, a predator banker, and a legendary filmmaker, all orbiting the same twisted world of Jeffrey Epstein. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy that loves God. influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night. To quote Waylon Jennings.
The boat here. John Thomas and Philip Thomas.
Is Gloria here by chance? Because she's 100 years old and she voted last election from here.
I
just want to make sure you're not 126 years old.
No, I'm not.
And do you think it's possible like illegal migrants could be voting?
Not really.
Do you know where the ballots might have gone? Like for 108 people, you know, that were registered here?
When it comes to fraud, most people think about money. However, there's another potential massive fraud story taking place in America, one tied to the most consequential system in our country, which is our voting system. This has to do with everything about who runs the country and how elections are actually controlled. And if we don't have voter integrity, what even are we? And there's one state that is the breeding ground for potential voting fraud, and that is California, where it can take up to 1 month to count all the votes, no voter ID, and millions of ballots are cast by mail. And with voter rolls that are extremely vulnerable to errors, such as over 200 people who are over the age of 125 years old registered to vote in certain areas. And now to see how easy it is to vote, I headed to the location to register to vote inside the state of California.
Now, this is the register of voters right here, and I want to ask him, why don't you need voter ID to vote here inside of California? I was curious, how come in California you don't need voter ID to vote?
Because when you sign your affidavit, you're swearing that you're telling us the truth, and we compare the signature that you put on your application to the
battery 65%.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it leaves any room for error with voter ID, or... Yeah, I'm just like curious because I want to make sure that like our elections are as fair and honest as possible. And I feel like voter ID is just something super simple to have. And do you think it's possible like illegal migrants could be voting?
Not really. How? I mean, what's showing their ID?
Yeah, if they don't have their ID and they could just sign on behalf of Richard Sherman, then they could technically vote, right? Yeah, but what if they just don't care? What if like Richard Sherman and Billy Bob Joe just don't care? But so you don't think illegals would ever vote, would you?
I don't think so.
No. So instead of showing your ID, you sign your signature and then it is scanned to verify it is you. So technically speaking, anyone could show up saying they are someone, and if the signature is similar, that vote will then count. And with millions of people voting, it leaves room for fraud to occur. Just take these two examples.
A Southern California woman is facing five felonies after registering her dog to vote in two elections. The dog's vote was even counted in one of those elections. Those behind the stunt say she did it to show the flaws of the current system.
Hundreds of people who cast votes according to state records, but we found they've been dead for years,
including a woman who died in 1988, and records show she somehow voted in 2014, 26 years after she passed away.
Then there's Julita Aboutin. Records show she voted in Norwalk in 2014, 2012, 2010, and 2008. The only problem is she's buried here at Forest Lawn. Aboutin died in 2006.
Is it possible your mother
voted in 2014?
There's no way.
Aboutin's daughter, Maravik, says it's certainly impossible that her mother voted, but the L.A. County Registrar confirms they have signed vote-by-mail envelopes with her mother's name for the 2014 and 2012 election, even though she died 10 years ago.
So it's not some crazy conspiracy theory to think that people are illegally voting inside the state of California. And with the state receiving millions of illegal migrants, the opportunities for fraud now are even higher as millions of undocumented people are living inside of the state. Now let's go meet up with a man by the name of Urson who has dedicated years of his life digging through voter rolls, finding fraud and inconsistencies throughout the state. So how bad is the voter fraud here in California?
Well, we actually don't know because law enforcement isn't really investigating it and we don't have people qualified to actually figure that out.
And what kind of fraud is taking place?
Well, we have voter rolls of about 22 to 23 million people in California. And we have just in Orange County, per se, there's 60 to 70,000 changes a month that happens. So the amount of time and effort to go and follow up with every one of those, we just don't have the resources to do that.
And so what information have you been collecting about the voting fraud here in California?
We have people that are still in our rolls from 2008 that are still getting ballots mailed to them that haven't voted in 18, 16 years.
And so if they haven't voted, what's the problem with them receiving those ballots?
Well, sometimes there's votes that happen later on with someone that hasn't lived here for 12 years. And we found several occurrences of that. When we turn that in, those are treated as independent incidences that don't affect the outcome of the election. So they're highly disregarded from our concerns as voters.
And what information do we have right here?
Well, we've got several different pieces that we're looking at today. One thing that's just a simple anomaly for people to understand is there's people that show to be 125 years old in our voter rolls. And that's a simple data flaw, but the issue is it keeps happening over and over again to the tune of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds in every county. That's a large size like where we're at today. Another one is we have a lot of voters that are at central locations, 10, 12, 15 people at a place where what is this business? What is it doing? These people are still going to continue to get ballots. Another one is, like a lot of the sororities and the dorm houses, you know, where we have typical turnout, you know, or voter turnout is like in the 50 to 70% range, but it's like 106 out of 108 votes cast. So it doesn't mean that that's fraud, but it means these are out of the normal order of what happens. And so that's what we're going to be going around and looking at today and seeing what's out there and what we can find. We have a system where you can register to vote in California without a driver's license number or social security number. Why do we allow that? That creates 9.6 million records that then the state has to send to the Social Security Administration. And when 75% of those come back with no matching Social Security record, it should make every California wonder, why do we have a system like that?
Taking place here in California.
Well, we get our information from the Secretary of State. We get it directly from them. It's a lot of information and it's very complex. And so we get this from the state, we package it up, and we help with our other researchers across the state that go and break it down into their own counties.
So we have all this information, and now we're going to go head out into the streets of California and see what fraud we can find. Where's the first place we're going?
We're going to the local retirement community, and the reason this one is just kind of particularly odd, you got 45 people registered, and 41 of them actually turned out to vote in the last election. So that's just, again, not typical for 55 to 70% turnout. So it's a mental crisis, senior, you know, rehabilitation center. So we're just going to go there and see, is there 45 people there? Is there beds? And check it out.
Can we speak to the supervisor?
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, it looks like there was maybe 41 of 45 people that are registered here. Does that seem low or high to you? Like as far as how many patients or residents you have?
That's probably not accurate anymore.
So that lady right there said that's probably not accurate.
Right.
So this could be a huge location where hundreds of votes could be casted from this one location. She said that numbers sound like they're inaccurate, 41 out of 45.
Correct. So is there a lot more people that could be registered to vote and could be having their voices expressed?
Well, let's move on to the next location.
You got it.
Now we're here in the University of San Diego because they got lots of voters here. But what's the deal with this location?
It's some sort of institute for peace and justice, so it doesn't seem like you'd have a lot of voters, like, registered at some sort of an administrative office, but it very well could be, you know? I mean, there's students that are all over the place here, so maybe it's some sort of a central mailing house or something like that.
You have a conference room, you have Garden of the Sky, the Croc School, classrooms, conference rooms, anything but dorms. And this is the location where 58 people are registered to vote here inside of the state of California.
Is this like a central mailing location, like this building for students and stuff?
No, this one is not. So we do have a mail center.
Because right here on the John B. Kroc Institute for Peace and Justice, it says we have 58 registered to vote, and 50 people voted from this location.
So it's 5998 Alcala Park, you're saying?
Is the entire university.
Is the entire university. So where do the ballots go?
I have no clue. Okay. I've never seen them.
So far, we're 0 for 2 as far as getting any clarity about where these votes are being cast from here.
Yeah, any sort of real clarity.
And at these locations, when there's only around 40 to 50 people registered to vote, in locations where there's hundreds and thousands of people, it leaves lots of room for speculations, especially when nobody actually knows what the real count is and where the votes are being casted from. And just a reminder, all this information from Ersin is the most up-to-date information from the Secretary of State of California as far as the voter rolls go.
The fraud continues. Now we're outside of a extra space, a storage unit location here. 5 people are registered to vote.
Correct.
Did they cast their votes?
3 of them did in the 24 election. Then we had one that cast a ballot in the 2020 election and one that's never voted. The point is that unless this is a primary residence, right, or where you can sleep, right, which no one's supposed to by law allowed to sleep in their public storage unit, then this is not a legal registration. And these are the things that the county continues to let slip through the cracks.
Let's see if they're here. We have the names of all 5 people. Let's see if they're here. How's it going, sir?
How are you doing today?
Good. We're just looking for a few people here. We have Lily Morey, Philip Thomas, Sydney Thomas, Robert Thomas. We're just looking for these individuals as they're registered to vote here.
Do you have people that live here at Extra Space?
Are you Robert Thomas?
Oh, okay. Okay, so who gave you this list real quick?
Oh, from the Secretary of State.
Yeah, it's publicly available information.
What about Robert, Sydney, Philip, and Lily Thomas? What about them? Do they also get their ballots here?
Who?
Robert Thomas, Sydney Thomas, John Thomas, and Philip Thomas. Do you know where any of those individuals are? Any of the Thomases?
No, they're not here right now.
There's no one living in storage facilities, right? That's really the question, right? Just wondering if people are actually living in storage facilities.
So 5 people are registered to vote here. They confirmed that nobody lives here. A little fishy. California's got some weird things going on. So 5 people, and they didn't know where any of the Thomases were, but this is their primary location.
Well, if those 2 people actually live here, and this is where they stay, their primary residence, right? They get their driver's license here, their tax stuff comes here. It's completely legal. But the other people that are here that they didn't know or do know or so forth, right? Are they someone that was just getting something in a storage facility? So.
But this is a storage facility. There's no apartments here.
No.
Nobody's living here.
Not inside the storage facilities. But if the couple that we spoke to is actually, this is their primary residence, that would be legal under state law.
But for these 5 people that are registered and that cast their votes?
And if it's not them, then no, those are not legal.
Those are illegal votes. And so that right there is 5 potentially fraudulent votes in one location inside of a storage unit.
This is super important to understand before we go to the next location. In California, when you register to vote, you must be your domicile location, which is your primary residency. You can then put a different address to receive your mail, but for it to be on the voter registration form and for the voter rolls, it must be your domicile address, your primary address. Now we are going to start going to some of these locations where people have put their primary addresses as P.O. boxes. In locations like the one we're about to go to, over 30 people are registered to vote at this one UPS store. With this fraud, a lot of these people registered to vote have their primary residency at a UPS store or a United States Postal Service location. Right here, we have over 30 people who are registered to vote, and all these people right here, there's over 30 of them, are registered to vote, and this is their location, and a large majority of them actually voted in the 2024 election against Trump and Joe Biden. And right here we have Gloria. Gloria voted in the last election. She's a 100 years old.
Yeah. Born in 1925. Still kicking.
What do you think about over 30 people are registered to vote in this UPS store right here? Is that a little strange to you?
Is it through P.O. boxes?
Yeah.
I don't know. What are you trying to do, or what are you trying to prove?
Yeah, so...
Well, so you have to re-register where you live, right? Where your primary residence is. And so if you've got a primary residence that's a UPS store, there's a real tiny houses, you know, inside the UPS store for people to live in.
Probably. What's your guys' affiliation?
My name's Nick citizens. Shirley.
Yeah,
could you live inside a P.O. box?
No.
So do you think it's a little strange that here in California you have lots of people who are registered to vote from these P.O. boxes? Meanwhile, you don't even have to show your ID when you go and vote.
I don't want to be part of the whole MAGA storyline. Thank you.
This isn't a MAGA storyline, man. This is just the straight-up facts. Now we're going in.
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
Outside.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to be here.
Could we talk to somebody?
No. Can you step
this
outside?
Is super important.
Yeah, can you step outside?
It has to do with our elections here, ma'am.
Okay, outside.
Can someone come and talk to us?
No. Okay.
Is Gloria here by chance? Because she's 100 years old and she voted last election from here. All right, so they won't even speak to us. Do you know Gloria? She's 100 years old. She voted last election here. She's supposed to live in one of these P.O. boxes.
Well, no. I have no idea.
A little strange, right?
Yeah.
Sir, have you ever met like a Gloria or anything? She's supposed to live in one of these P.O. boxes. She voted.
No.
Don't. No idea. And another thing that's super concerning about all this fraud taking place is right now the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, is also leading the way on polymarket as to who's going to be the Democrat nominee in 2028. What do you think it says about states that don't require people to have voter ID? It's like inconsistent, so people can kind of like tweak it however they want. So I don't know. I don't trust it. That's why. Should states require people to show voter ID when they go and vote? 100%. Like I think people should be verified that that's them voting and that's like them as a person. Like that needs to be like a face-to-face action. If they can't, there needs to be another way of verification. And what makes you think that way? A lot of people don't think that way about voter ID. I don't know. I think it's just like a common sense thing. Like it should be you that's voting and like your vote that's going through. So it's not just like anybody. Do you think people would pass you off for Ralph Saucedo if you just said you're Ralph Saucedo? No. Like if I said that to me, they'd be like, really?
This. Good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Nick Shirley dropped an absolute, bombshell report at this point. The reality of this kid is going around California and he's trying to uncover what could potentially be voter fraud. I mean, this is a big, big deal. This has been going on for quite some time now. And California is one of the many states that is refusing to hand over their voter rolls to the DOJ so that they could sift through all of this. To see the full report, you got to head on over to Nick Shirley's page and do just that. But folks, election fraud is real and they'll continue to tell you it's a conspiracy theory. Well, because they're all a part of it. They're hoping you don't catch on. Happy Tuesday, everyone. Let's dive into some of the things we've got lined up ahead for all of you. Anne VanderSteel is working on a report regarding the Epstein files, and she'll be joining us in the second hour of the program to break down the very latest. But we're also going to be covering, obviously, that shooting that took place yesterday in Rhode Island. Obviously, that was very, very tragic. And it involves another gender-confused individual. We'll bring you the very latest on that. Plus, President Trump is speaking out about DHS and the shutdown that's going on right now. It's a partial shutdown. I'll tell you what that means throughout the show as well. And then we're breaking down some of the latest regarding the Epstein files. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. And I think Steve Bannon got word of that and he gave comment yesterday. We'll bring you what he says is his defense regarding those text messages that Bannon was having between him and Jeffrey Epstein. We'll also play a clip of Dan Bongino defending the redactions that are currently being made on the Epstein files as well. So you could all hear it for yourself. It's actually very, very interesting of a take. But we'll also keep diving into a lot of really, really important stories. One that I think the American people need to see and need to know all about regarding the FBI and what they're currently holding back from local officials in Minnesota. We've got a lot more to discuss as well. So buckle up, folks. We've got another 2.5 hours coming your way. So let's dive into the very first story right now. As many of you guys probably saw yesterday, there was a tragic shooting around 3 p.m. yesterday. This involved a transgender, so biological man pretending to be a woman. I don't even know if I'd call him trans. This is a cross-dressing mentally ill person. He ended up killing two others, which apparently includes his wife. And himself, Three others were injured in all of this. The footage itself, we have the video. I could play that for you. The video from it is absolutely horrific. Take a look at this. This transgender individual, obviously this was someone who was very bitter about their divorce, went after and targeted his wife. Now, according to reports, she filed for divorce after he announced that he wanted to be a tranny. And as you see, that all took place. Police are describing this as a targeted event stemming from a domestic family dispute. Victims obviously included members of his family and friends. The suspect was at the arena to watch a family member play when the gunfire broke out. More than one weapon was recovered. A Good Samaritan intervened to help stop the attack. No students or players of the hockey team were injured in any of this. The players and the families were bused to police headquarters. Over 100 interviews were conducted. And the game itself and the league itself were temporarily suspended as of right now. Again, this shooting is obviously tragic, but it involves a mentally ill man pretending to be a woman. And local police, I have to give them credit when credit's due. In clip one, you're going to hear them not hold back the truth, which so many local law enforcement agencies do actually nowadays. They don't want you to know when it's a tranny. And so they'll cover for the suspect. But this Rhode Island police station, well, they're not doing just that. Take a listen to clip one.
So what I can say right now that we have identified the person, the suspect, by a birth name. The birth name was Robert Dorgan. We have also learned that the person does go by the name of Roberta, also uses the last name of Esposito. But again, that will be all confirmed throughout the course of the investigation as to their status. That really doesn't have anything to do with the investigation.
Do you have an age? Yeah,
what's the age of the suspect? 1969 he was born.
So that is actually very transparent. And you have to say, we'll give the police station the credit. I mean, this is something that they normally will not put out, as many of you guys have seen. You know, there's been speculations of individuals being trannies, and local PD never actually wants you to find out. We spoke about it earlier as well, that Canadian mass shooting that took place. That was obviously tragic, but law enforcement refused to even call the mass murderer the wrong pronouns, and even corrected a local journalist who decided to use the biological pronouns of the shooter. This is what's going on all around the country, and it's absolutely gut-wrenching to continue to see. But folks, we are up against a word war. I mean, they just try to manipulate words so they can control the narrative all the time. So if we could take one little ounce of positivity out of all of this so far, it's that local PD is actually doing their job by delivering the factually correct information. And obviously it's 2026, so I guess that is a slight win in all of this. But folks, what happened yesterday was absolutely tragic and shouldn't have happened in the first place. And it's just another reminder of the violence that continues to occur with those who are part of the transgender community. It's endless violence. And there needs to be more further research done in all of that to see what's actually happening here. Folks, we're going to dive into a bunch of other stories throughout today's show. In the meantime, though, I want to let you know we have a couple more hours left on that 52% off sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over to the shop right now and make sure you snag these deals before it's too late. Your favorite supplements, 52% off. And I'm telling you, those energy shots, no caffeine, no jitters, all vitamins, you're going to want to grab a couple of those. There's never been a better sale right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. So head on over there right now and make sure you snag it before it's too late. We only have a couple more hours left over at thealexjonesstore.com.
RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game-changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. The stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff. So thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome back to the American Journal. We're kicking things off by doing a little recap of some very important comments that were made by President Donald Trump yesterday as he made his way on Air Force One. Oh, man. You know, I don't know if you know, but we're in the middle of a DHS shutdown right now. Now, don't get me wrong, I am not a fan of extra agencies that we don't need, and given the fact that DHS is a result of the Patriot Act, and yeah, I'm usually on board for all of this. But in case you're someone who does like DHS, just so you know, federal agents are not being paid right now, and that includes our ICE agents as well. Now, obviously, this is another political theatrical moment for those who currently... Well, Democrats. There's no other way to put this. I mean, Democrats are the ones that do not want ICE to be able to operate, and they've done actually a pretty good job at making the lives of ICE agents hell. They continuously go out there and stalk these ICE agents. They have now done about 2 shutdowns, I think, in a matter of a couple of months. And, you know, it's not looking good for them. But ICE agents, they don't care. They're going to go out there and keep capturing rapists, murderers, and the worst of the worst. We're thankful for just that. But right now we're in kind of like feels like a hostage situation, honestly. Democrats just don't want to fund them. And it's not because they don't like ICE agents. We know they do. They like them when they were serving under Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Bill Clinton. They were big fans of ICE. Now, though, because President Trump is trying to conduct mass deportations, they're not big fans of him. And so yesterday in clip three, President Trump spoke openly about the DHS shutdown. Take a listen.
Any demands that Democrats are making that you're okay with?
Well, I don't like some of the things they're asking for. We're going to protect law enforcement. We're going to protect ICE. You know, they're part of the whole system that is working. In Washington, D.C. now is considered a very safe city. When I took over, it was a city that you were losing 2-3 people a week. Over 100 people a year were being murdered in Washington. Now it's considered a very safe city. And we did that. I did it over a fairly short period of time, too.
Yeah, I mean, just following the laws is what would result in that. And the problem is Democrats don't want to follow laws. Democrats have been lawless, but they love drafting laws. They love pushing laws because they want government to regulate those that they disagree with politically, but not themselves. They live without these regulations. The rest of us must abide by the law. So it's really frustrating. It's really frustrating. The only group of people that Democrats really do align with are the criminals. The rest of us, the peasants, we must abide by whatever they want us to do. And that's what's going on throughout the country right now. They continuously are going in, and I keep seeing these videos, and it makes my blood boil of their, you know, them trying to stop ICE agents from going out there and capturing, literally, rapists. Folks, this is all constructed. It was constructed under the Biden years where they wanted to make sure that if they were unable to get their way and give illegal aliens amnesty, what they wanted to do was specifically make sure that they overstacked the courts, overflooded ICE with a bunch of violent criminals so they couldn't deport those that they wanted to keep in this country. And that's what we're up against right now. Listen, I'm not a fan, and I'm not going to try to advocate for growing the government. I don't want that to happen. But how do you get rid of millions of people that don't belong here without expanding the resources for agencies like ICE, like Border Patrol? It's a tough one. It's a tough one. And again, I don't want to advocate for this, but I don't know of another solution on how to combat all of this. And we'll be taking calls later in the show. So when we do, if you have an idea, maybe call into the show. But it's really, really frustrating to sit back and watch unravel. Democrats don't care. They don't care. They don't care. And this administration talks a whole bunch of junk, but they don't actually do much about it. We haven't really seen much in the way of following up on those really tough Fox News sound bites, those letters. They sound very scary. But where's the action? There's never any action. That's the problem here. Democrats know that. That's why they do what they do. And they continue to get away with it. There's a reason for all of this. You know, President Trump yesterday, he decided, Gavin Newsom, AOC, Hillary Clinton, they're all abroad right now trying to, I guess it's kind of a way for them to pretend like they might have some potential of running for president. Now, I don't know about Hillary. I almost called her Killary. I don't know about Hillary. But AOC seems to think that she has a real shot at things. And that's quite impressive for a girl who just learned what the three branches of government were just a couple of weeks ago. But she's really putting her name out there, and she's really trying to make it seem like she could be a leader on a global level. Now, obviously, it's baffling, but that's what Democrats do. They seem to platform their dumbest so that they have to stick with their narrative and keep pushing it. They're just puppets. Theatrical puppets. Gavin Newsom, though, it doesn't really matter the fact that he's absolutely destroyed California. He, too, thinks he can one day be president of this country. And anyone who votes for these people or supports their presidential run, by the way, they should be flagged and thrown on a terrorist list because they really are terrorists. They are trying to destroy this country. In clip four, President Trump flames all three of these folks. Take a listen.
The way I watched AOC answering questions in Munich, this was not a good look for the United States. I watched Gavin Newsom answering questions for in Munich, and this was a bad look for our country. This was a bad. These two people are incompetent, and at least Hillary's competent. She's just Trump deranged. She was so deranged. She is an angry woman. But I watched the other two speaking and answering basic questions. Look, Gavin has destroyed California. And AOC, I never really got her to, I never heard her speak very much. And they started answering questions. She had no idea what was happening. She had no idea how to answer, you know, very important questions concerning the world. But she can't answer questions concerning New York City either, because New York City has got some problems.
Yeah, you know why she can't? Because she's dumb. But these are the kind of people we elevate. We elevate, not you and I, but those on the left. And there are some dumb Republicans too. But this is the problem. They're elevated because they make perfect political props. They're willing to put their faces out there. They have no ethics. And they continuously do this. AOC has done a pretty good job at trying to get young and dumb voters on board with her. But she's a communist. And most people don't call it out. And this is the problem I have too with this, folks. I don't know if you follow much on Fox. I'd highly recommend you don't. This is why I do it. I watch every news outlet so that you don't have to do that at home. And all I see all the time is that Fox continues to break in with Zohran Mamdani press conferences and AOC press conferences. Whenever they're doing something, they love broadcasting it. They are making these people's names even bigger. And yet they claim to be conservative. It feels like, and this wasn't when I worked at Fox, this was another outlet, they claimed to be conservative, but they were actually running, and they told us, this one individual, who I always suspected was probably, in my opinion, somebody who was a part of the intel community who had infiltrated the news division at the company that I was working for. I always suspected, but this is what happens across newsrooms. I wish the American people could see what goes on in a newsroom. But they wanted us to push. There was a Democrat running for Congress, and this was supposed to be a conservative news outlet that I was working for. And they wanted us every hour, this one person wanted us every hour to play this person's congressional campaign ad. They're like, yeah, you can criticize it if you want. Just play it. Those on the right continuously platform these people. We make their brand even bigger. And even if we're sitting there and making fun of AOC, everyone knows when you say those three letters who you're referring to, we've made her bigger. Doesn't matter that she hasn't accomplished anything. Doesn't matter that she's low IQ. It doesn't even matter that she didn't even know what the three branches of government were prior to making her way into Congress. We the people, unfortunately, have made celebrities out of these low IQ communist pigs. The fact that AOC thought she could hit the red carpet up in this ridiculous, ridiculous dress tells you all you need to know. We're platforming these demons. We're making their brands even bigger by pretending and kind of bringing their name into the discussion. AOC is not an intelligent woman, but will they platform her? Yeah. And I've had enough of it. I'm constantly seeing these Zohran Mamdani press conferences, not because I'm actually looking for them, but it's because outlets like Fox continue to platform them. By the way, they're the ones with the blacklist where you can't go onto their network if you're someone who they don't like. Like, there will never be a day where you'll see me on Fox News. They hate me. But AOC, they'd give her some time. They give her a lot of time if she wanted to come on their platform. Why do you think that is? And speaking of low IQ Democrats, there's a man named, as we pivot into the Epstein files, Dan Goldman. Dan Goldman, in my opinion, is a very evil, evil man. A very evil man. Obviously, he's established great wealth prior, but he's also a great stock trader. One of the accounts I'd say you should probably follow if you're looking for stock advice. But he is someone who knows exactly how to manipulate words to pretend like there's some truth in what he's saying. What do I mean by that? Well, he continuously goes out there, and this is the big issue that I have with the Epstein files right now. I want there to be justice for these victims. I do. I do. I actually want the people who were out there raping and torturing children to be hung from the highest tree. But right now, I can't get on board with a lot of this. Why? Because Democrats are utilizing this for their platforms, to run on this for the midterms, to trash the administration. Again, the last 4 years when the Biden regime was occupying the White House, they never spoke of Jeffrey Epstein. But now so they could go after President Trump with this, they're doing just that. And they're trying to manipulate the words. And again, I know our buddy Bill, the Loomer fan club founder, Bill, always says it's a war on words. And it's true. It is a war on words. You got to take back the words. You got to redefine what these words truly do mean. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to associate President Trump, even though there's not a lick of evidence that prove that President Trump had affiliations with the torturing of children and the sexual abuse of children. Doesn't matter. They're still pushing his narrative. And what they do is they try to align President Trump's name with Jeffrey Epstein. And now they're referring to it. And it was really kind of crappy. And I do really love Thomas Massie as a person. I do believe that he is one of the very few who is morally driven. But hearing him refer to it as the Epstein administration, not cool. Not cool. Given the fact that the last administration did its very best to suppress that information, given the fact that the last administration had some guy occupying the White House that was literally accused by his own daughter of taking inappropriate showers. The last administration, obviously, we saw a man who was supposed to be president going around sniffing children, making children feel very uncomfortable. I mean, children were literally trying to get out of his hands as quick as they could. I mean, he literally was trying to eat a child. This is usually the stuff that you see at the Bohemian Grove. You don't see this happening in 3D, but this is the guy who was occupying the White House. It didn't just happen once, too, folks. It kept happening. Oh, yeah, it's so funny. Me eating children. Joe Biden, an absolute disgrace. An absolute disgrace. But back to Dan Goldman. In clip 5, you're going to hear him do what they all are trying to do, and they're trying to make this connection and bridge this gap between President Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. Take a listen to clip 5.
That's that email you referenced. Has it been unredacted yet?
Nope, it has not, and there will be more to come. And the importance of it is far greater in my mind than simply what is in there. It is clearly not permitted to be redacted under any privilege. And the fact that it is redacted from public view but allowed for members to see, when it relates to statements that Donald Trump made, makes it very, very clear that it is a part of a cover-up. And that's why the 2.5 to 3 million documents that are being withheld without any explanation are so important to be uncovered and to be handed over to Congress and for the American people to see, because we have evidence that they are covering up for Donald Trump. So that's what we can actually see, what members of Congress can unveil by going over there. Imagine what we can't see in those 2.5 to 3 million files. And, you know, if Trump wants to put his name on everything, as he does, then let's start calling this the Trump Epstein files.
Yeah. It's an attempt to push this false narrative. And again, I mean, you want to talk about an administration covering up. I mean, there's been several Democrats occupying the White House. Has Dan Goldman called for them to release any of this? Of course not. Of course not. Again, this is the problem here. They all love jumping on board now because they could utilize this to their political advantage as they head into midterms. This is what they're going to do. And this is the reason why so many of us are not so enthusiastic about the files, because it is being manipulated. They have released, this administration has released more information regarding Jeffrey Epstein than the last administration, but it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Now, of course, I'm against the redaction, and we'll get to that in a little bit. I'm against the fact that a lot of the information that's come out, really, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to make any sense. When we sit here, and I did a whole spiel about this yesterday, how there's over 3 million documents, you're not going to charge any of them. Well, that's obviously ridiculous. And let's play this. Let's go to clip 7. Dan Bongino yesterday, he was kind of going off. And I know a lot of people are going after him for this. He was defending the redactions that have been made thus far in this clip. Take a listen to clip 7.
Disturbing case with a bunch of level 10 decisions where there's a decision and a shittier one. Do we redact these four guys in a lineup knowing people are going to speculate about, gosh, who were these four guys? Were they part of this ring? Were they part of a cabal of people? Or don't redact them and then, you know, innocent people get outed. These were the decisions that had to be dealt with every day. Decisions and shittier ones. That's what President Trump has to deal with every single day of his life, and everyone else at that principal level. Everyone. Mike Davis, I can't tell you about this tweet enough because it describes everything. But this is an early tweet, by the way. Mike was on this from the start. This guy's a fantastic lawyer. Mike Davis nailed this from the beginning about what the problems were going to be on the case. If anyone wants kind of a rational, reason-based part, put that tweet up. I thought that was a hint, the Mike Davis tweet. I got him. He says, here's the problem with the Epstein mess. The FBI doesn't have the evidence many thought it did. You can see the emails on that when we're querying, hey, is there an uncharged third party here? There are not tapes with powerful men raping kids. There is not a list. Epstein's Rolodex is already public. The file is largely unreleasable for many reasons, including grand jury materials, correct, 6E material, court records under seal, was correct, child pornography and pornography in general, I explained that, victims who need to be protected, they don't want their names out there, and unsubstantiated, even double or triple hearsay and some bogus claims, which would permanently destroy the reputation of innocent people if released. That's it. Summed up. That's how it goes.
I don't think that's how it goes. I don't think that's how it should go. Hear me out, folks. I do my very best when we're talking about these Epstein files to issue disclaimers saying that this does not mean that these names are those who were participants in any of the sexual abuse that we saw or keep learning about at Epstein Island and at his properties. So it's us, the American people. It's our responsibility to not just assume when someone's name is dropped that they are over there and they're abusing children. That's not fair to do to anyone, and I understand that completely. But the American people are intelligent enough to understand that. We don't need our government making our decisions for us. And I've always stood on that ground. I've always advocated for us, the American people, making our own decisions from the very beginning. I mean, when COVID was happening, and they were trying to get us all to participate in their experimental jabs, force us all to wear masks, the American people are intelligent enough to make their own decisions. The government doesn't have to do it for us. Even when we were for selling TikTok, a lot of conservatives jumping on board for that one saying, oh, no, let the government ban TikTok. It's fine. TikTok's not good. It's owned by the Chinese. It's not good. My rebuttal, why can't we educate Americans to understand that the CCP is our enemy? The CCP is spying on these Americans. And that when you utilize a platform like TikTok, you are participating in their communist takeover. No. We need the government to regulate that. I'm tired of the government stepping in. I don't need the government to make decisions for me. I consider myself to be a highly intelligent person. You give me the facts, even from both sides of the argument, I can make my own decision. So when it comes to seeing these names, I want to see these names. And if it was as innocent as Dan's saying, and again, I get it. Dan's speaking from the perspective of an individual who just came from the FBI. So that's his perspective on things. But when I look at the release of the list that was dropped on us over the weekend and a bunch of names just thrown out there by the DOJ, no context. And even if you go to like Marjorie Taylor Greene's name and you try to find the docs, it's just all black boxes out. So you don't even know why her name is on the list. Kat Turd even made the list. His name is in the files. How does that happen? Well, doesn't matter. We could say that Kat Turd's now in the Epstein file. You see, it's all meant to be confusing. And I don't think it's fair to sit here and say that we, the government, are going to decide all of this, whose name gets thrown out there. I try my very best to be as protective as I can over these names when they are people who are truly not wrapped up into any of this. You know, yesterday I spoke about Steve Bannon, and Steve Bannon has now come out and spoken to the New York Times, and it's long overdue, but in reference to the text messages between Bannon and Jeffrey Epstein, which obviously have a lot of people fired up. Yesterday, we talked about how Bannon was referring to Epstein as a god. In his rebuttal, he does claim, I am a filmmaker and a TV host with decades of experience interviewing controversial figures. That's the only lens through which these private communications should be viewed. So he was working to secure a 50 hours of interviews. Now, is that excuse good enough for you all at home? Well, that's for you to decide. That's for you to decide. At least he's speaking out on the issue, yes. But should he have sooner? Maybe. Yeah, for sure. Because we've been asking questions for quite some time now about this. And I wanted him to have the opportunity to defend himself. So right now, Steve Bannon saying, when you look at the files, realize something. Realize I was trying to secure an interview. Now, I can understand some of that, but when it comes to someone who has been convicted of being a pedophile, there's not an interview that's worthy of me playing footsie with someone like that. And that's my opinion. And everyone's allowed to have their own opinion on the matter. But it's all a matter of putting out the facts, making sure the American people see through this, and make sure that you have access to this information. I want to play a soundbite in part, and I'll jump in on this one. But let's go to clip six. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about her fallout with President Trump.
Here's the interesting part. Okay, there were only four Republicans, only four of us, that signed that discharge petition. Thomas Massie, myself, Lauren Boebert, and Nancy Mace. Now, what was happening in the background for months leading up to when we finally got it released is we were getting pressure from the White House. We were getting pressure from the Speaker. Do not take your name off this discharge petition. And we're like, why? This is, we're talking about the Epstein files. This is the ultimate promise. This is the ultimate way to provide transparency. This is the ultimate way to take it to the deep state and expose a whole criminal cabal of rich, powerful elites that I believe control everything. And guess what? Come to find out they do.
They do.
And, you know, so we're like, why? So in the meantime, President Trump is calling it, I've seen the whole thing a hoax. Yeah. He's calling it a Democrat hoax. He won't have anything to do with the women. He still refuses to have anything to do with these women. So this whole thing is building. The women are saying President Trump did nothing wrong. They still say this. President Trump did nothing wrong.
I know.
Their attorney says President Trump, Donald Trump's the only one that helped us. And guess what? That came out in the Epstein files that he reported Jeffrey Epstein.
Yep.
So like, but Donald Trump is fighting it. President Trump is fighting it. President Trump is yelling at me. The White House is putting pressure on Nancy Mace. They take Lauren Boebert in a skiff. I don't even know what they said to her in there. They are attacking Thomas Massie, nonstop attacking Thomas Massie. And then one day I get a phone call from the president in September and he is so mad at me. And he's yelling at me and he's angry at me. And the fact he's like, you're supporting Rand Paul Jr. And he's chewing me out for signing my name on Thomas Massie's discharge petition to release the Epstein files. And I'm trying to tell him, Mr. President, they say you did nothing wrong.
All right, I'm going to step in on this. That is obviously what's been going on behind the scenes. We got more to dive into. Ann Vandersteel joining us in just a moment to break this all down.
I see through a rose-colored darkly. That means I'm trying to tell you the truth, but I'm not always right just about 98% of the time. And bad guys of every stripe don't want this show on the air. But you're the good guys. You have to decide, hey, this guy's a fighter. This guy stood up for this. This guy has an incredible track record. We want to support him. And then I'm going to sell you something that really works so you love it and you get it again and again. And Bigly, our great sponsor, those yellowstonestore.com, no matter what happens, InfoWars, we continue on the Alex's network that's been built. So Key said, Alex, you keep getting it wrong. We don't have 84% reorder on Ultramethylene Blue. We don't have 76% reorder on the supplements and average. You're reading that wrong. That's on total customers. We have a 97% reorder from anybody that orders at thealexandstore.com. Well, that's a testament to you guys out there supporting us and how great the products are. Nobody, I mean, a site that has a 20% reorder is seen as successful. That is you being steadfast supporters, and I want to thank you. So we're running the biggest sale of the year right now, over 50% off on ultramethylene blue, on the bovine colostrum, on the new methylene red that's proprietary to us, on the Shilajit Complex, the Irish Sea Moss, Atomic Defense, and more. But it's only run until next Monday. You got 6 days to take action. TheAlexShowStore.com. Takes money to fight a war. We're fighting a war. Plus, the products are great. So please, get yours now. Over 50% off, but it's an alert. Only a few days left. Thank you so much.
American Journal. We're excited you're all on board with us today. A lot happening here. Ann Vandersteel will be joining us in about 5 minutes to break down her latest report. She's been digging into the Epstein files, and there's a couple of things that were on her radar that she wanted to make sure you all at home knew about. And so we look forward to having her on in just a few moments. As many of you guys know, Ann is a information war correspondent. And so this is obviously something we want her to dive into for all of us. So we look forward to talking to her in just a little bit. But I wanted to make sure you guys saw this body cam footage because it's actually quite jarring. Of course, and no surprise here, there was an attack on a Bellevue police officer. This was just a few days ago. And the suspect who randomly pulls out a knife and starts going after the officer, get this, drum roll please, first name Mohammed. Take a listen.
It was on December 12th around noon in Bellevue when the 911 center received a call reporting a man and a woman were fighting at the Bellevue Transit Center downtown. Officers' body cameras are rolling as they respond within 6 minutes. When they contact the 911 caller, he makes a statement about Bellevue police making false allegations against him. Listen close.
Are you the one that called about the DV? That happened right now?
The TV?
No, DV. And are people arguing?
Yes.
You called about that?
Yes.
Okay, let's get to that first, and then we go to the second part.
Yeah, so,
said to respect you, so two people arguing.
That things are about to go out of control. Watch closely and you'll see the suspect, Mohammed Bangura, pull a knife out of his jacket and lunge at the officers. Let's watch it from another perspective. This is the perspective from the officer who was slashed in the head and then stabbed in the back. When the video is paused, you can see Bangura standing over him with the knife right in the split second before the other officer shoots Bangura. Bellevue police raced to help the officers. Once they got him into custody, they recovered this knife.
Yeah, obviously, folks, this is not surprising. This is what happens when you bring these people in. He was the one who made the false call, obviously, and was trying to set officers up to be killed. Again, this is what happened. This is an ambush. This is an ambush. And this is what happens. This is what's happening, not just here in the United States. I mean, to be naive to argue that. This is happening all across the world. It's happening all across the world. Now, again, according to reports, he did survive. He was taken to the hospital. He's released from the hospital, booked into the King County Jail with a bail of $5 million. Prosecutors have since charged him with assault in the first degree and assault in the second degree. I mean, what an absolute garbage. You probably should hit him with a terrorism charge. They, of course, don't disclose what the motive was. But you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what the motive is there. And again, this is what's happening all across the country. I mean, if we didn't have body cams, guys, how many of you would probably believe that this just randomly happened? Not many. Not many. Law enforcement has like a split second decision to make there. And obviously his colleague decides to jump in and help him out, his buddy, who's about to be killed. How do you even see that? You don't. Just another reminder that when law enforcement have their body cams going, the American people see exactly what's under attack right now, and that is that we have a bunch of terrorists running around this country trying to slaughter innocent people. How unfortunate that he survived. Now taxpayer dollars are going to have to go towards what? Helping him? Probably legal fees, I'd assume. Keeping him alive? Having to feed him? Unfortunate. Folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 52% off site-wide is our mega sale, and it ends in just a few hours. So you got to stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. 52% off. I haven't seen savings like this since Christmas time. Your favorite items, 52% off this week also. The final week where you can win those two cars, the Ford Mustang and the Ford F-250, plus $20,000 in cash. Every time you make a purchase at thealexjonesstore.com, you enter to win one of those.
I love knives.
I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
If it matters to America, it matters here. This is the American Journal with Brianna Morello.
You're all jumped on board with us today. If it matters to the American people, it matters to us. And that's the reason why we're not letting up on the Epstein files. As many of you guys know, more information has been uncovered as millions of documents have made their way to the intranet. Now, obviously, the DOJ had its work cut out for them, and we obviously do have our criticisms. But, folks, give credit where credit's due. At least we got our hands on, what, 3.2 million documents. Yeah, it's heavily redacted. Yes, yes, yes. But we are sifting through all of that. And it's not just the great folks on the internet doing that, but it's all of our incredible independent journalists. And that includes our next guest. Anne Vandersteel joins the show. She is an information war correspondent. And so she's the perfect girl to put on the task when it comes to dissecting the Epstein files. And it is an honor, of course, always to have her on the show. You could follow her on X at Anne Vandersteel. She does an incredible job of digging into all of this. And it's great to have you back on the show. I know you've been working on digging into some of the latest emails that have made their way onto the internet, as well as the release that came from the DOJ. And there's a lot that you've uncovered so far. So give us your latest report.
Thanks, Brianna. Great to be with you. You know, I look at everything through the lens of the Constitution, mm-hmm. and that is my guiding lamppost every single day. I keep a copy right here on my desk because mm-hmm. without this, who are we as a nation? And frankly, our nation is under such attack, and the Epstein files are revealing a lot of the sort of vectors of attack. And one of the areas that I wanted to focus in on today, specifically with you, is an area that I've been talking about now for several months. And it is a matter of national security, and it connects through the intelligence community, and it ties directly into Wall Street. So, you know, one of the areas that we really need to focus on, frankly, is the premise that increasingly our United States financial system is impacted because it is a matter of national security. And frankly, you have to look at market structure failures. And this is what we're seeing. For instance, just look at what's happening with silver, right? We've watched silver take a meteoric rise, and then it was systematically attacked while the physical price in Asia remained at about a delta of $30 or $40 per ounce higher than the paper price here. And of course, the market structure failures that were happening here, because they didn't have the actual silver to back it up, threatened liquidity. It threatens retirement systems. It threatens our dollar. And of course, the global confidence in our own United States market exchanges. This extends way beyond investors. And so U.S. markets, I want to set the stage here because it's really critical, underpin our U.S. markets basically underpin all of our country's sovereign credibility and any political leverage we have around the world. In other words, any large-scale settlement failure, sort of like we saw what happened with Enron, or structural breakdown, like we saw what happened with Lehman Brothers, these can carry very big, massive ripple effects and systemic implications. So when you look at everything through that framework and you examine the regulatory governance, the intelligence connections, and the ongoing problems we see in the markets where shareholders are disputing the fact that their stock has been under attack by naked short selling, you then understand that, you know, we do have a very big problem in our government and our regulatory framework and in the agencies that are supposed to protect the individual. So let me start with FINRA, because FINRA, The Financial Regulatory Authority is a self-regulatory regulating organization. It's supposed to be operating under the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission's oversight. But, you know, when you think about it, having an independent agency being governed by a government agency, really, when you start to look at it and break it down and you understand what's been happening, you will see that it provides plausible deniability. And this is where Catherine Ruemmler enters. This is a lady who has fallen under scrutiny recently in the Epstein files. But getting back to FINRA, just so you're clear, FINRA regulates broker-dealers. It oversees trading activity. It includes the over-the-counter securities where a lot of these shenanigans go on. And its board of governors includes public members and industry representatives. And it's all done, you know, by statutory design. So Catherine Ruemmler, who is she? She served as an industry governor on FINRA's board since 2021. At the same time, she also served as chief legal officer for Goldman Sachs, one of the largest broker dealers regulated by FINRA. That is a massive conflict of interest, and I'll get to that in a minute. But before she did all this, she served in senior roles at the Department of Justice from 2004 to 2009. She was heavily involved in the Enron scandal. From 2011 to 14, she was the White House counsel under Obama. She managed multiple executive branch responses such as Benghazi, et cetera. And there's new documents that have surfaced to further context her post-White House relationships, such as a January 8th, 2015 email showing Ruemmler writing that John Brennan gave her the CIA Agency Medal, which is the CIA's highest award. And she writes in this email that she received this, and she says, how cool is that? Now, let's just think about that for a second, Brianna, because this is the intelligence community, which we now know has been working with intelligence agencies like Mossad and others around the world to usurp governments, basically conduct color revolutions over the past 20-some years, leveraging, you know, Dominion voting systems or the Smartmatic base operating system. This is all well documented. And at that time when she received that medal, John Brennan, he was the director of the CIA. There was another email dated on December 29th of 2015, including a reference to visiting the CIA or NSA facilities. So essentially what you're seeing here is documents are confirming that Catherine Ruemmler received formal recognition from the CIA. She maintained communications referencing U.S. intelligence agencies. Though they don't give any real evidence of misconduct related to her work at FINRA or any market decisions, you can clearly say that these documents establish basically a tie between the current FINRA industry governor and senior intelligence leadership. And again, our financial markets have been classified under a matter of national security. They are protected. So these board members that sit on FINRA, they're not supposed to be managing day-to-day enforcement or trading halts. Those are handled by the FINRA staff, okay? What I want to get to is the market integrity, because it is framed as a national security infrastructure. The intersection of intelligence networks and the executive branch service and major financial institutions and regulatory governments, when you combine all of these things where Catherine Ruemmler has straddled over the so many past years, now you have an issue that is institutional concentration of influence, basically what I would call a serious conflict of interest. I can go on because I want to layer in Gary Gensler, but I want to pause here for a second, Brianna, and see if you had any questions on that.
No, I think you're doing an incredible job at delivering all of this, and I would let you take the floor. I mean, this is a breakdown that I haven't seen so far, so you've got my attention, girl.
Okay, great deal. So now let's talk about the Securities Exchange Commission, because Gary Gensler served as the chair of the SEC from April of 21 through January of 25. Before that, he was with the Commodities Future Trade Commission, the CFTC, during the Obama administration. And he also served as the chief financial officer for the Hillary Clinton 2008 presidential campaign. He also even taught later at, he taught financial technology and blockchain at MIT. So both Ruemmler and Gensler, they both had senior roles during the Obama administration between 2011 and 2014. Ruemmler at the White House counsel and Gensler as CFTC chair. Now, I'll remind you, the overlap is a matter of public record, but it doesn't establish any sort of coordination of specific enforcement actions. But it does present that it situates current regulatory governance within a network of prior executive and financial leadership roles. So just pausing on Gensler, Note this, that during the period of time when he was CFO for the Hillary Clinton campaign, we also had the Russia scandal, the Steele dossier, Perkins Coie. As the chief financial officer, he oversaw transactions, money that was going out of the campaign to pay for certain elements. We know the campaign was paying Perkins Coie, who also paid for the Steele dossier. So this is a direct tie between Gary Gensler and the Steele dossier, something that I would believe President Trump would find of interest. Here's where we tie in President Trump and the current market controversies that are surrounded, currently ongoing. Trump Media Technology and Technology Group, TMTG, was trading under the ticker symbol DJT. They have publicly alleged naked short selling. Now, if you don't know what that is, naked short selling refers to selling shares without first borrowing or locating them, potentially resulting in what's called a settlement failure or a failure to deliver. Those practices, Brianna, are regulated by the SEC under Regulation Show, SHO. As of now, there's been no public enforcement action concluding any unlawful naked short selling occurring in DJT, despite the fact that Devin Nunes, the CEO, has raised the issue a number of times, including pointing to another concerning situation under the MMTLP ticker. This is also a separate but related dispute. MMTLP, they were an OTC traded security. They were tied to a corporate action involving another company by the name of NextBridge Hydrocarbons. And on December 9th and 22, FINRA issued what's called a U3 trading halt. And this is really extraordinary because that sort of a halt doesn't just happen. And if it does, it usually resumes trading within a matter of hours or days. It has still been halted since December of 22. That security was then deleted. They actually deleted this security. Now, mind you, there were hundreds of thousands of shareholders, at least 100,000 here in the U.S. that we know of, that had their life savings or a good portion of their savings in this account, in this ticker that was halted. They've been unable to get their money out. Some of these shareholders actually allege that that halt interfered with the price discovery of what the stock should be trading. And it also prevented anybody who had created naked shorts. And believe me, there are evidence of massive naked short selling by Wall Street insiders that never got reconciled. So when they sold those stocks that they never actually owned, they got paid for that. They never had to reconcile and buy the stock back in order to complete the trade. So they walked away with millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions. And FINRA, what did they do? Mind you, Kathleen Rumler is on the board there. They stated the halt was based on a settlement risk connected to any corporate action timelines. So resolving those competing claims would have required access to consolidated audit trail data. They would have access to blue sheets, which would track every single thing that happened to any stock anywhere. And all of those records still remain under regulatory control. They should be FOIA-able. People should be able to present a Freedom of Information Act request to get this information. That has not materialized. So again, you know, we have massive fraud occurring here across Wall Street. FINRA, the independent regulatory agency, that's independent of the government, is sort of the go-between or the buffer to the SEC. So a lot of these shareholders in MMTLP, they assert that the total share counts actually originally exceed the original float that was out there. And they're looking at, you know, basically broker reported data from TradeStation, Schwab, Vision Financial, and of course, some of the shareholding-led model estimates these shares between approximately 800 million and 1.2 billion shares. Mind you, there was only 163 million or so shares originally issued. So a massive amount of shares were created synthetically and sold and pocketed. And of course, FINRA knows all this. They halted the shares. In fact, they did this after the SEC received an email, Brianna, from the Wall Street members in a trade organization that said, hey, we need you to stop an S-1 filing because if that goes through for NextBridge Hydrocarbons, all of our Wall Street buddies, I'm paraphrasing here, mm-hmm. that are naked shares, holding naked shares right now will be exposed. So this is a massive failure in the system that results in instability in the markets. It results in shareholder lack of confidence in the markets. But again, this is a massive retail dispute to what we would call a systemic settlement risk. And when this risk intersects with these institutions that operate with an intelligence-recognized national security frameworks, you have to believe that government transparency is absolutely critical, which is why these Epstein files are important. But to your point, Brianna, we need to allow the public to digest all of this for those that want to wade into all of this information and start to draw their own conclusions and use their own conclusions to drive more Freedom of Information Act requests into the government, specifically into these agencies. I know people are doing it, and I know people are also being stymied by the Freedom of Information Act requests. Then they're not getting the document production. And this is a real problem because we're not seeing the transparency.
Yeah, I mean, and just to give some background too, I did request from the Bureau of Prisons, which is run under the DOJ, and it is a agency that you can submit FOIA requests for. I did request the recordings of Jeffrey Epstein's last phone calls, and I received a response. Yeah, the response I received from the Bureau of Prisons was, we don't have any records of that, and so they never gave it to me, and I have not yet seen that in the Epstein files as well. And I think, I know it's a little off topic, but the reason why I was wanting that information is I wanted to hear specifically his tone of voice. Everyone sits there and they're, you know, going back and forth and debating whether or not Epstein killed himself. Well, let's listen to what his tone of voice was when he was on his final calls. Many people know he was shuffled over to make his phone call and then went back to his cell where he later allegedly killed himself. That's according to our own government, so spare me. But it's one of the many layers that we're looking for information on, and they put it in writing. They don't have record of it, and they didn't hand anything over to me, and I haven't yet seen that audio recording release. So it's one of the many layers to all of this. Again, folks, if you're just joining us, this is Ann Vandersteel. She is an incredible information war correspondent. You can follow her on X at Ann Vandersteel is where you could find her. Ann, you just outlined a bunch of incredible accusations. And I know you've done your digging into all of this, and you spent hours going through all the information, dissecting it and connecting the dots. Has there ever been any federal investigations into any of the accusations you just laid out for us? Because that would be the checks and balance that we're supposed to have from our federal government.
You know, Brianna, that would be probably too much to ask at this point, considering what we're getting out of the people that were formerly in the government for a short period of time. Instead of getting information, we're getting insults, and we're being pandered to. And so, no, there has been no federal investigations into any of this. In fact, they've done everything they possibly can to cover this up. This goes to the systemic threat of our financial system on a national security level. And when you have wholesale liquidation of companies that are destroyed, companies that actually had technology that had they had contracts with NASA, with the Federal Reserve, and other agencies of the government that are of a national security level deliverable. When those companies are liquidated and sold, and the IP is sold for 10 cents on the dollar to our foreign enemies such as China, then you have to step back and ask yourself, what is the government really doing to conduct business on behalf of the American people? Are they really looking out for our best interest, or are they conducting business on their own best interest? Are they self-serving? And if you look at all these pieces, because there is no government investigation going on into any of this, and we can't seem to get the DOJ to pay attention to this, President Trump has been threatened, his own company, by the same exact, you know, existential threat of naked short selling. If he was to look at MMTLP as sort of a parallel of what's going on and all of the data that has been collected on MMTLP, including the FOIAs that actually delivered emails that prove there was collusion between Wall Street and the financial institutions of the SEC to cover their tracks and protect Wall Street, he could actually, you know, save his own company. But again, that's Devin Nunes' call at this point, because President Trump is off looking at the United States and in the big picture of what he's got to do to save America. But frankly, I don't see anything in this government, Brianna, that is coming anywhere close to protecting the American investor or, frankly, the American period. This is, again, a wholesale liquidation of America.
Yeah, and Anna, I want to dive into this at greater length, too, when we come back from the break. So I want to go through what the big PR push now from those on the left is as well, because right now they're trying their best to pin this all on President Trump, the whole Epstein file down. Right. But I think it's crazy when you look at all the information. I mean, the two key players that you just outlined all have ties to the Obama regime. And for some reason, they continue to, and it's what Democrats actually do really well at. They do a great job at changing the words and manipulating the narrative through their choice of words. And so they're doing it. But when we sit back and we watch as Democrats continue to push the Trump administration and throw them under the bus for all of this, are you at least kind of surprised? Because they're making it very clear that I mean, I think the PR wise are doing a good job at disassociating themselves with a lot of what you just outlined here. and pinning this on President Trump. Are you surprised as how they've been able to execute all of this? And it's really gone unchallenged by many.
No, Norm Eisen has really led the brigade on wordsmithing all of this and changing the narrative. They come out with their yearly documents to show you how they're going to attack us from the inside, you know, this year. And nothing, we don't seem to take a page out of their book very well, yeah, and get coordinated on the messaging, because everybody in the, on the conservative base is smarter than the next guy. And instead of collaborating and working together, we tend to work individually, which again, that's great. I love the fact that we have free thinkers out there, but we really need to do a better job of supporting the bigger narrative that's occurring right now. And again, the left does that so beautifully. You pointed that out. And I'd have to give credit to Norm Eisen. Frankly, he has been the leader in this. My good friend and your friend, Mel Kay, has talked about this extensively, yeah, that Norm Eisen really is a problem. But we could learn a lot from him if we reverse engineered and sort of created our own wall of 4 a.m. talking points. Instead, we're getting bogged down with the Nancy Guthrie story. And, you know, how many narratives have we taken our eye off the ball, including the Save America Act? We'll never get that passed. The border story is dead. ICE is dead. All these things are dead. And it wasn't for you bringing some of this back up into the media ethos, we wouldn't know what's going on. We'd be consumed with Nancy Guthrie. So again, no disrespect to a woman that's missing, but yeah, is she really missing, or is this another media distraction?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing too, Anne. And if it was one of our loved ones who went missing, there wouldn't be 24-hour news coverage on it. And
no,
I know it's devastating, and you feel for her, and you really hope that they could find her mother and she's in good health. But I mean, we have thousands of children missing. And, you know, I was very thankful because Tom Homan over the weekend finally gave us another update in regards to their efforts to relocate those children that went missing. And you and Michael Yon, I mean, you guys were blowing the whistle on this for years under the Biden regime. And sadly, mm-hmm, everyone was looking the other way on this. But so far, he claims they've recovered 145,000 children, which is great. And the ballpark, yeah, figure of how many migrant children are missing are north of 400,000 that went missing under the Biden regime. So it's one of those kind of warming stories that we've been able to find these many children. Of course, it's just a drop in the bucket compared to many who are gone. But it's a big point in all of this. But, you know, they've done an incredible job at distracting the American people. And I want to keep, right, you here, because I want to throw a couple more things your way as we continue to talk about the PR shift that those on the left continue to do. We're going to play clips from Reid Hoffman, who is doing his best to distance himself from this Epstein scandal. In fact, talking about how much fun it was to go to Epstein Island, and he should have done a Google search prior to making his way over there. He's full of garbage, but you got to hear it for yourself. Plus, we'll also talk about how Hillary Clinton is trying to distance herself from all of this. She knows that it's way too deep for her at this point, as another cover-up that the Clintons have to try to participate in is underway. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. And stay tight, because I want you to be here for that, and I want to hear your reaction. Again, folks, we have Ann Vandersteel on with us right now. She's an information war correspondent. You could follow her on X for great reporting like this, at Ann Vandersteel as well. I also want to tell our audience, too, we got a couple more hours left on that incredible sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. You got to stop what you're doing and head on over there. It is 52% off. These are some of the lowest prices we ever had on the website. I don't think we've ever touched this since Christmas. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Those energy shots that I cannot shut up about, those are on sale right now. 52% off. It's an incredible deal. Normally for the price of two, I think I spent about $100 on those. Now you get three and it's the same cost. I mean, the discounts are incredible. You got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and take a look for yourself. Methylene blue, I know everyone loves that. That is also incredibly inexpensive right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. When you support us, you keep us on air, and you help our next project in this information battle. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. It dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're joined by Amy Vandersteel. Some of you guys know she's an incredible independent journalist, and she was doing a lot of great reporting on all things related to Epstein and then bringing it back to the Wall Street angle, which obviously we greatly appreciate. It's original reporting that you won't see anywhere else. So that's why you got to give her a follow on X at Ann Vandersteel. And Ann, you know, I wanted to get your reaction to this because Reid Hoffman is actually speaking out. He was asked during a podcast about his appearance at Epstein Island, and he had quite the defense in clip 11. Take a listen.
Just to be clear here, you're saying that your relationship with him came strictly through fundraising for the MIT Foundation. Yeah. Is it accurate to say, and I don't have the article up in front of me, that you've also, as part of that, went to the island, like you were on Jeffrey's island?
Well, because this is part, yes, because part of what Joey asked me to do is say, hey, Jeffrey said that he's more likely to give money if you would come and visit with me. I'm like, well, I'm coming to Boston. I'll go through wherever this place is on the way to Boston, right,
to go there. What was the island like?
Like I was there for a night. It was like, okay, there was a courtyard. There was a set of boardroom. There was like a bunch of guest rooms. There was a pool.
you go to a lot of like, are there a lot of private, like you're going to fancy random people's islands like frequently or like how unusual?
Well, that was the first time I've gone to an island. I've gone to a couple since then. That was again part of the reason why, like, you know, note to self, Google before going, right?
I don't think any of this is funny, and I think it's actually disturbing that they're doing all of this and laughing it off. It was also posted on X, by the way, that Reid Hoffman was trying to go after Elon Musk about his alleged ties to Epstein, which are nothing that we've seen as legitimate or, I guess, has any hint towards Elon Musk participating in the sexual abuse of children. And then the fact checkers actually weighed in because Hoffman was trying to claim that he was cleared by the FBI. And fact checkers say, that's not exactly true. You haven't been cleared by the FBI. It's also worth noting, you know, Reid over there is trying to be dismissive about his involvement with Jeffrey Epstein. And he says, well, he went to Epstein Island because it was about the money. Reid Hoffman's net worth is around $2.6 billion. That's according to Forbes. So, and I'm scratching my head wondering, how is a guy who's worth $2.6 billion just so desperate for a spare change that he's hanging out with a convicted pedophile over at Epstein Island?
Yeah, right. I mean, and then, like you said, to be so dismissive of it, like it was, you know, all in the day's work, no big deal. I'll just buzz down there on my way to Boston. You know, I just want to make a little personal here because during COVID in 2020, I had a really big, robust LinkedIn account. Mm-hmm. I paid for it. It was $60 a month to have that account so I could communicate and email and so on and so forth. And it was a gold mine for me from when it came to insiders in the government that were sending me information. Yeah, there were some definite, you know, should we say intelligence operators trying to misdirect, but I got a lot of really good information, including Rudy Contreras, the FISA court judge who stepped down after General Flynn was, resigned as the NSA under Trump administration in 2017. And, you know, I learned a lot of things about how money laundering was going on using mortgage fraud, et cetera. Now, Reid Hoffman, right? When I started getting the information and somebody sent me the actual patent for SARS-CoV-2 that had, you know, the Rothschilds attached to it. It had Burroughs Wellcome attached to it, the Wellcome Trust. It had Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation attached to it, Rockefeller. And then it looked, you could see all of the different viruses that were basically, you know, sort of mixed in with the SARS-CoV-2, this, you know, the soup, if you will. That patent came out in 2015, and I posted it, and it got hundreds of thousands of shares, Brianna. Reid Hoffman had my account taken down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they didn't want the truth out there. So to now learn that Reid Hoffman is so nonchalant about this, right? This is the same guy who funded, you know, the lawsuit against Trump mm-hmm. with that crazy lady. What was her name?
We all know. Yeah.
Sorry?
She claimed that she was a well-known actress, but both of you.
Yeah.
Both you and
I'm sorry.
I'm
just
drawing a
blank. Jean Carroll. It just came to me. Jean Carroll. He helped fund that crazy lawsuit against President Trump. This guy also went to, besides going to Epstein Island, he went to New Mexico Zorro Ranch. He went over to see Epstein in his mansion. He was writing to Epstein back in 2015, even after Prince Andrew's scandal dropped. And he was trying to help manage this sort of negative press coverage to kind of keep up and cover up the trafficking of minors. All this stuff is under Reid Hoffman's auspices. I mean, this is who he is. And to see him sit there and be just so, blasé about the whole thing and la-di-da just goes to tell you that these people have always seen themselves above us. There's the elite and then there's the rest of us. And frankly, we're here at their disposal. That's how they see it. And they have no problem about literally telling you what they're doing because they don't think they're doing anything wrong. And that to me is very problematic because these are the people who ostensibly think they're running the country. When in fact, if you look around at our agencies and our government, we are a corporatocracy. We are influenced by the biggest dollars coming in. And it's not happening at the executive branch so much as it's happening out in these agencies, which nowhere in our Constitution, especially under Article 1, Section 8, do you find any of these agencies listed as mm-hmm. things that Congress should have domain over. And this is hugely problematic. We're not governed by the people, Brianna. We're governed by these so-called elites that are nothing but fat slobs and pigs.
Yeah, well, I was actually just going to say, and I know this is stealing your joke, but I was actually just going to say the one good thing to come out of that Reid Hoffman clip is that he looks like found Ozempic, and so we could be thankful for at least that.
It's true. I did text you that this morning.
He did. I was like, I'm going to steal it if Anne doesn't run with this one. It was a good joke, Anne. Very good joke.
He did probably find it.
Yes, he did. I want to turn to clip 12 too, because, you know, Hillary Clinton's doing her best to distance herself, from the Epstein saga that's going on right now. All the outed, documents that are being dumped onto the web. Obviously, there's a lot of internal emails going back and forth. She wants to pretend and downplay a lot of this, and I don't think it's going to go over well for her. But let's take a listen to clip 12.
Do you regret the links that there have been?
You know, we have no links. We have a very clear record that we've been willing to talk about, which my husband has said he took some rides on the airplane for his charitable work. I don't recall ever meeting him.
Did you ever meet Ghislaine Maxwell?
I did on a few occasions, and thousands of people go to the Clinton Global Initiative. So it to me is not something that is really at the heart of what this matter is about. They are accused and in both cases were convicted of horrific crimes against girls and women. That should be the focus.
That should be the focus. Obviously, she's trying to distance the Clinton name from all of this. Your reaction to hearing her PR push to distance herself from any of this, as she's supposed to speak in front of Congress very soon?
Girl, please. That's what I have to say to that. I mean, look, the Clintons should, you know, they really are in contempt of Congress by not showing up to discuss this in an orderly fashion, mm-hmm. you know, weeks ago. So to sit here and watch Hillary Clinton sit there, and again, just like she's standing by her man, we can all remember when the Monica Lewinsky stuff came out and she sat there in the Today Show studio and literally did a Tammy Wynette stand by her man, just absolutely saying it didn't happen. It's not true. And today she's obviously could care less that we all know it to be true. It's the same performance here. This is performance art by nothing but criminals. And, you know, that are still part of a very infected RICO criminal cabal, which is known as our United States government. Just because the Clintons aren't there doesn't mean that the Clinton Foundation and all of its tentacles still aren't very involved in destroying America. And I look forward to seeing what happens in Congress. But, you know, similar to Trey Gowdy with the gavel in Benghazi, just like she said, what difference does it make at this time? That horrible, you know, screeching voice at that moment when we'd had our own members slaughtered and set up by the government, by Hillary Clinton herself, who ignored all the warning signs. Brianna, I don't know what else to say. I mean, you can go back and just go through the list of everything that Hillary Clinton has been involved in, including 19,000 Swiss bank accounts of money laundering that somehow disappeared when the Hillary Clinton Secretary of State caught on, and that money disappeared. But the Clinton Foundation Global Initiative seemed to, you know, take on millions. It's just the same old song and dance from a habitual liar and a sociopath.
Yeah. And you know, it's pretty frustrating to see go on. And, you know, we continue to weigh in on all these topics. And I know the American people are outraged by what the Clintons have been able to get away with. No real investigations, no real looking into any of this. And the rest of us are just forced to just continue to go out there and try to put this information out there into the public sphere and hope that eventually at some point someone will be outraged enough to do something about it. But again, they have some type of immunity, and it's really frustrating to sit back and watch. And it's even more frustrating because our president currently is even defending Hillary, which is a real head scratcher for most. And before you go, I wanted to make sure that we brought this up. It's an email regarding the FBI that they internally were sending around about the data that they've obtained from Jeffrey Epstein's multiple properties. It looks like they had, 14.6 terabytes worth of data. And based on what we've released so far, it looks like maybe only 2% has been put out there. Can the American people be confident that we've received everything? I mean, I don't trust the government. I know you don't either. But what's your take on all of that?
No. We haven't received everything, not even close. And the fact of the matter is, look, I mean, just go through the scandals and the assassinations mm-hmm. over the course of history. We're never going to get it all. That's just the way it works. This government is a closed operation. It is us versus them. It is no longer left versus right. And the FBI has done nothing more than just continue to cover up yet another scandal. I mean, we can go back in recent history, Charlie Kirk. You know, in 33 hours, they have the quotes assassin, and we still don't know answers to some scandals that go back decades. How is it we have the forensic ability to get this stuff but we don't ever materialize it. And this, you know, this recent incantation is, I think, to the, it's the tipping point for America, Brianna. Americans, while some may not be as outraged as you and me, others are just like, you know what? I'm not voting anymore. And that goes on the left and the right, because there's nothing that they believe they're going to get from their government, and they don't believe the system works for them. And frankly, the SAVE Act, if that doesn't pass, if we don't end machines and go back to same-day voting, paper ballots, smaller precincts, hand counting, mm-hmm. voter ID, if we don't get to that, this country is lost. It is permanently lost until, you know, we have the next 1776 moment.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's the reason why they've done all of this, to make sure that our elections can be manipulated. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Americans who don't even understand this. And it's so frustrating. You know, we played in the open of the show, Nick Shirley going out there and talking to Californians about their elections. And there's a woman who's going into a UPS store. He's like, hey, lady, did you know that there's like multiple registered voters inside of this UPS store? And they're using these like pillboxes to register. And she's like, I'm not participating in your MAGA narrative, and stormed off. And it's like, lady, don't you care about your elections? Because they could be voting for MAGA candidates and just using these bogus boxes. But she stormed off. She was so enraged, so upset. This is what we're dealing with. This is what we're up against. And we're going to keep pushing back on all things related to this. But Anne, thank you for jumping on with us today. You did an incredible job at breaking down that report for us. So we are always honored. Folks, if you're not doing so, make sure you do just that. Head on over to X, give her a follow. At Anne Vandersteel is where you can find her on Twitter. Again, she's an incredible independent journalist. We highly recommend you do just that. Anne, thank you for being with us today. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Brianna. Have a good day.
You as well. You as well. Folks, we're going to be taking your call in the third hour of the program. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to want to call in on, because we want to hear you weigh on the topics we've discussed thus far. Again, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. All right, let's talk a little bit more about the FBI. There's a new report coming out that investigators over at the FBI are refusing to work with Minnesota local law enforcement, and they're not going to be coughing up any evidence and sharing that. That is according to the Daily Mail. Now, based on all this report, it looks like local PD is not very happy. But again, the Bureau is refusing to hand over any evidence to local officials. Now, again, this makes sense given the fact that you can't trust them. They are obviously not there to have law enforcement's back at the federal level. We know that they've been called off from helping out to assist federal agents. So why would you open up this avenue to allow local police, which I'm pretty sure is run by the governor, which would be Tim Walz, to be able to infiltrate this investigation? It makes sense. You don't share information. You don't share evidence when you know that there's corruption in the state of Minnesota. And so for the FBI's sake, yeah, this is probably a good move. Now, those internally are saying that in Minnesota that no, you got it. But the reality is the feds don't actually have to share anything with Minnesota officials. And given how politicized this has all become, I think that's probably for the best. That's definitely for the best. Now, folks, a lot happening all around the country as we continue to dive into the headlines. I wanted to make sure you guys were ready on the very latest. Laura Loomer actually dropped a report, and let's get to this. This is regarding Tony Gonzalez. Now, we'll get into the endorsement in just a second, but Laura Loomer has come out and she says that we could expect a report to drop very, very soon in regards to Gonzalez. Now, in case you're unfamiliar, let me give you a little bit of a backstory on all of this. Tony Gonzalez, who is a representative in Texas, had a staffer, and there was allegations between the two that the Tony Gonzalez congressman and the staffer were having an affair. Now, this staffer later committed suicide by setting herself on fire in front of her property, and that is how she passed away. Obviously, very devastating and horrific. Now, both of them, according to reports, were married, and Tony Gonzalez, I believe, has 6 kids with his wife. So this is kind of crazy. This is kind of crazy. Now, according to Loomer, this is the scoop that she dropped on the web. She says that there's going to be a devastating report that comes out regarding the GOP congressman and his former staffer. Now, again, she's not really citing specifically what, but sources tell her that the there's alleged text messages between the two and ring camera footage. It's going to put a lot of this narrative into question. Now, here's the interesting part in all of this. And I know the guy who's running up against Tony Gonzalez probably isn't very happy about this. I know Loomer tags him and says that, you know, he could do like a little victory lap and all of it, but it's nothing to be proud of. Tony Gonzalez, for those on the ground, just go with that. they don't like Tony. Many of them believe he's a rhino, that he sold out the people in this country. And they're not fans of Gonzalez. Keep that in mind. Now, here's the really, really disturbing part in all of this. When President Trump, who just recently endorsed, back in December 2025, Gonzalez, I was enraged. Enraged. Yes, they're just allegations. But yes, you need to wait for an investigation to go underway. You don't sit there and sandbag. And this is my problem with these endorsements. It's sandbagging the other ones who are trying to primary those who aren't good candidates. You know, when we sit here and talk about draining the swamp, you have to get rid of all the political filth. And primaries are supposed to do just that. And I'm not talking about primaries that President Trump endorses, those challenges. I don't really care to weigh in on that. I think that we, as the people of this country, the American people, should be able to weigh in on our own primaries with the president trying to move the needle. Endorsing Tony Gonzalez is going to come out as being a massive, massive mistake for the president. And I don't understand why we do this. Allow those who live in the district to decide for themselves. I don't like weighing the scales. I don't like going out there and throwing our names behind things. Let the people who live there decide for themselves. Tony Gonzalez has not, as many people who live in the area will tell you, does not represent Texans in that region. And we continue to allow people like him to have a job. This is why D.C. is so corrupt. And it's not just Gonzalez, it's others. Mike Lawler from New York, the president continues to go behind and just posts on Truth Social. And Lawler is literally pushing for amnesty. And it's not just him, it's Maria Salzer, who's also another one who's been pushing for amnesty. And just a week after she sat there and said, oh, my gardeners, we must keep them. The nannies, we must keep them. That same woman, by the way, who's made multiple appearances, there was a major one just a few years ago over at the WEF, the World Economic Forum. That one I went after her for, but she's, in my opinion, she's not a good person to be representing the American people. And so what do I mean by that? Well, she's obviously pushing amnesty for a reason. For a reason. And I don't want to hear that her district is hard to run in, so you gotta, don't care. Don't care. Don't care. And the president shouldn't be stepping in on that. Because you're endorsing, essentially, amnesty. It's a package deal. And Maria Salazar is another one. So when I saw that one, I was just enraged. He makes a ton of just poor endorsements. We don't need them. We don't need them. Let primaries be handled internally, and I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. So that's that. It looks like, and I hope that report comes out soon. I don't know why we're endorsing candidates without seeing all the information. I would highly recommend that we should see all the information. But again, the times we live in are quite, quite concerning. Folks, where's Seth Rich's laptop? I keep asking that question and we don't really hear any answers. I'm going to try to team up with the person who's been going after all of this. But again, we're not hearing anything in regards to Seth Rich's laptop. And it wouldn't be to the right's political advantage to continue to suppress that information from coming out. It wouldn't be. So the fact that we haven't seen any information from Seth Rich's laptop, I'm going to keep renewing that. We have to. We can't let up on this story. This is one of the many stories that we need to continue to push. Because again, I mean, Seth Rich was brutally murdered. And for some reason, we have people on both sides who want to continue in the cover-up. I mean, no one's been arrested for Seth Rich's murder. And so again, I'm not going to insert any type of my theory into all of this. We know that the family was very heavy with filing lawsuits, so spare me. But can you imagine not getting justice for your child who was just brutally murdered? And there's a lot of questionable ties to very questionable individuals. Seth Rich deserves justice. The FBI was ordered to hand over his laptop and they still have not done just that. And that is something that took place under the most transparent administration that we've allegedly seen. So yeah, it's very frustrating. I don't think it's cool and I'm really angry at this. That's my summary on that one. I don't know if you guys saw this one either. Oh, by the way, I didn't put this one in the rundown. So this one will have to just kind of ad lib off of. There's a lot of reports going on right now. And I think I kind of briefly gave my overview as to what I think is going on behind the scenes. But there's a lot of criticism being kind of thrown over at DHS in regards to a lot of subpoenas that are being tossed around and a lot of these big tech companies. Bear with me on it. I don't think, and again, we're just going to wait till it all unravels. But I saw a lot of people talking about it on X yesterday because Discord was also recently handed over a subpoena to hand over communications. I think there's a lot of bot accounts that are foreign-based, and I think that's probably the goal in all of this, trying to see who is actually behind all of this, what country is it, because they're trying to create political discourse in this country. And so from my sources that I've spoken to, they continue to tell me that that's one of the major pushes in all of this. And thanks for getting this up, guys. I know a lot of people, especially over the New York Times, were very upset about this, but I think it's important to dissect and to dive into and to make sure that we figure out what countries are over here trying to cause chaos and violence against ICE agents. So if these accusations are true, I'm sure we'll get to the bottom of this soon, but just keep that in the back of your heads when you watch all of this pop off. Let's have a MAHA movement right now. RFK Jr., which I'm always so interested in hearing. As many of you guys know, I'm carnivore. Every now and then I slip up and we'll eat some pasta, but it's like two ingredients only pasta. And I try to make sure that everything comes straight from Italy, but we're all flawed humans. RFK Jr. is detailing his diet. Take a listen to clip 9.
I am on a carnivore diet, so I just eat meat and ferments. And I'm very happy with that, so I'm going to probably have yogurt and...
And you mentioned that you eat a lot of fermented food. I saw somewhere, is it true that you will be cooking a steak at 6:30 in the morning with, like, sauerkraut, and that that's breakfast?
I eat it with sauerkraut, yeah. I eat some kind of meat probably twice a day.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the best way to live life, folks. I mean... Keep in mind, I mean, I lost 30 pounds from just going carnivore. It's probably one of the best things for you. And just make sure you get your blood work checked. But I would say I did hear one person who had like a little bit of a negative effect when he went all carnivore. But everyone else has been enjoying the benefits of meat only, no ultra processed food. We'll play in a little bit too of this clip of RFK Jr. talking about the ultra processed foods. But I mean, that stuff is such garbage. It's infuriating that we've allowed it into our food system. Our supplies. And yeah, I'm always so fascinated to hear how certain people eat. And RFK Jr. obviously being someone who clearly is in shape. I definitely listen and tune in when they talk about what they're doing. By the way, folks, I'm still working on my cookbook. It's a carnivore only cookbook and we'll have that heading your way soon. I also did a live stream the other night, last week. For those of you that missed it, you got to follow me on Rumble. It's just the Brianna Morello Show page. That's the Brianna Morello Show on Rumble. But it was kind of funny. And I know a lot of people were laughing in the chat. We were live streaming and I was participating in the chat discussions. But my alarm went off. My fire alarms went off. And I wasn't burning anything. But it did add, of course, to the my experience as a very first time live streamer while cooking, which was eventful. But there will be more of those, of course. So make sure you give me a follow on Rumble as well. Folks, in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 52% off site-wide. It's a mega sale, and it's going on right now. That sale is going to end in just a bit. I'll hear it. You guys are the best. Yeah. I did when I couldn't open a jar. I did step off the camera, so no one saw me struggling with opening a jar. But in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 52% off site-wide right now. You got to head on over to the shop and do just that.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at theauctionstore.com. And they've had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives, and that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high-quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it, so people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly, four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in. In just the last 2 days, our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality, massive steel, all of it, these sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks, okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. It's a nice little memento you support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back.
in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest fitting knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But while you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.
You're on board with us today. We'll be diving into the calls in just a little bit. If you want to join the show, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. That is 877-789-2539. And as I look at the caller list, you know, you guys got to level up. We'll take his call in a little bit, but Savage Dog is always the first one on the lines. He's always at the top of the stack. And so we'll hear from him in just a little bit, but I think he's like my unofficial co-host of the program. But it's always a pleasure to hear from him and so many of you. So if you want to join the show, 877-789-2539 is the number to call into, of course. I wanted to get to this clip as well. As we talk about MAHA and dieting, the ultra-processed foods, to me, is actually one of the biggest issues we have in this country right now, because so many Americans have grown accustomed to accepting these foods as if they are healthy or foods that sustain any type of like nutrient value. And I think this needs to be called into question. And all Americans really need to take more of an aggressive approach of eliminating these from their diets. But RFK Jr. is talking about what could be done on the federal level about all of this in clip 10. Let's take a listen.
When you're taking on ultra-processed foods, you're also taking on powerful industries, big ag, big food. What makes you believe you will prevail?
My belief that I will prevail is because we have the president behind us.
But the president has shown himself to be pretty much against regulations. So why would he support regulating ultra-processed foods?
Well, I'm not saying that we're going to regulate ultra-processed food. Our job is to make sure that everybody understands what they're getting, to have an informed public.
There are Americans who live in so-called food deserts with little access to whole foods. And these are foods that many of them can't afford anyway. So how do you speak to that American?
We are laser focused on making all of these foods affordable and accessible to every American.
That shouldn't be the excuse, right, that Americans don't have access to. Well, why don't they have access? Why are we forcing them to ingest this type of food? I mean, we're not physically forcing them to take it in. Obviously, they are going to the stores and buying just that. But shouldn't we be forcing ourselves to make healthier choices? I know a lot of you on X were actually kind of, you know, scratching your head a little bit when I made the announcement. And this has been my biggest kept secret. I've kept it pretty well for the last couple of years now. But I tried to give people healthier tips on how to get access to healthy food that is affordable. And so if you're someone, let's say, who might really enjoy a great plate of pasta, for example. Right now, it's really difficult to go out to a shop, go out to a store and grab some pasta because it's got more than two ingredients. And all it should have is flour and water, and that's it. Well, my big secret to go to Home Goods. Home Goods has been like my go-to shop for a while when it comes to Italian foods, European foods. And people don't realize it, and I've been trying to tell everyone the secret. Those foods actually come from Europe, and they have a high set of standards when it comes to foods that they produce over there. And it's so unfortunate that we don't have those same sets of standards here in the United States. I mean, a lot of the food colors, the dyes, they don't allow it in their country. Why? Because they know it's fatal. They know what it does to people. And so for those of you who maybe missed out on it, you gotta head on over to Home Goods. This is an endorsement. It's one of my favorite stores to go to. They have incredible products. If you're a big black truffle person as well, I love black truffle oil, sea salt, everything. They've got the best, literally the best. I feel like Donald Trump right now endorsing it. But it's not like an actual paid endorsement. It's authentic. If you're looking to get healthier items, you got to find healthier solutions. I know they're not everywhere, but Home Goods, if it's by you, definitely give it a shot. Go check out their aisles.
I am obsessed with it, but it's one of the many reasons why I shop there literally all the time. I probably keep them in business based on my obsession with making sure to snag some of their truffle products every single day from their stores. But I highly recommend it. It's one of the better options. And it is food that is imported. Not all of it. Just read the back. It will tell you straight up. But most of it's imported from Italy and other places. So it's why I always take my pastas and get it from them. Also, if you get a rotisserie chicken, just a little helpful tip here. Rotisserie chickens, after you eat it, don't throw it out. Boil it down. That broth is chicken broth. And you can use it to cook your pasta in, and it will be the best tasting pasta you've ever had in the history of your life. I know, I don't just bring you the news. I also bring you fun cooking advice, and that's one of my many tips that we bring to you. Folks, don't go anywhere. More discuss in just a second.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. We're going to be diving into calls, so if you want to join the show, 877-789-2539. That is the number you can call into. That is 877-789-2539. As we work our way down the list of callers, you guys got to level up with Savage Dog. Savage Dog is always on the lines. He's the first caller that we always have on the show, it feels like. And he's back in his number one slot. Savage Dog, thank you for being here. What's on your mind?
Achievement earned. Dig it.
You got it.
I almost had to tender my resignation with you blaspheming the pasta, but I figured instead I'd give you some advice. You ever had spinach pasta?
I haven't, no.
Well, I worked in a fine dining Italian restaurant in Athens, Georgia. They got their pasta from a local place that did it fresh every day. It wasn't even stiff, you know. But spinach fettuccine and spinach angel hair. I don't know what kind of markets you have. Maybe you can have it ordered or something. And I don't know how much healthier it is than wheat flour. Imagine it's a whole lot healthier, but spinach pasta.
Yeah, well, Savage Dog, the problem I have with all of this is the glyphosate that they keep putting in our foods. And so I was actually just having this talk with Ann Vandersteel this morning, and we were talking about how, you know, when they're spraying, obviously, in the skies and whatnot, the chemtrails, what's the purpose of me getting, like, organic fruits and vegetables? I do it also for my dogs. I try to at least, and I try to always find, like, the most affordable organic pricing or and the products I could find and support local as well. But I mean, it's so frustrating. Glyphosate is in everything. I mean, I don't know if you saw too. We did the story a couple of weeks ago. It's even in our bread, and you wouldn't even think that the bread at the supermarket would have glyphosate in it, but it does. And so that's why I'm just so black-pilled on all of this. And if it's not like steak or chicken these days, I just at this point, I'm like, if it doesn't come from a European country, I don't even want it anymore. I know. I'm not that much fun.
Yeah. What do you think that steak's eating all day? It's eating aluminum-filled grass.
I know. What do you think I should do, starve?
fun fact, I've heard, and I haven't confirmed, Fiji water, one of the reasons why it's so expensive, it's harvested from a volcanic pit or whatever that has a special, silicon molecule that actually binds with aluminum in your body and gets it out.
Oh.
I've heard this, haven't confirmed it. So,
I like it. I'll look into that because that's a good one too. Well, you know, the problem is too, and then like this is, it's a problem with everything, and then we're just going to like rant on this, but then it comes in a plastic bottle and the plastic, it releases and leaks in the chemicals. And so that's another option. It's just, everything's a mess. And the Fiji water, too, based on the, how they have to bring it here to the United States, it burns a bunch of fossil fuels. But I'm no lefty, so don't take me wrong. I'm not getting that.
Oh, no. We're gonna raise the temperature of the earth so that all of Canada and Russia are now growing lands. That's going to break my heart. Oh, what's her suck from the Grammys is going to have to sell her beachfront property instead of letting hobos live there because
it's a tragedy.
No one's illegal on stolen land.
It's a real tragedy, Savage Dog, when we break down all of this. But the more I talk, the more I sound like a liberal hippie. So I'm going to let you have the floor now before everyone unfollows me on X and starts accusing me of things.
Yeah, go get you some French fries with that Wham burger.
I like it. I hear you have elections on your mind, so what did you want to discuss?
I'm about 2.5 years early, but, you know, everybody's trying to white pill about what the Democrats are going to put up, you know, for us for 2028. Keep in mind, you know, I used to call Joe Biden when Obama picked him or whatever, whoever picked him, that was the best bulletproof vest of all time because nobody's going to assassinate Obama when you got this guy next in line. And then they're going to put him up for election against Trump. Oh, wow, this is going to be a bloodbath. And then you see what happened. Now, you know, of course, now we're wide awake to the fraud and everything. But think about back to Obama's two elections. You know, they changed the tactics every time. In his first two elections, you had John McCain. Nobody I knew voted for him in a primary. And I remember Herman Cain being up by 20 points in the field. Mm-hmm. Before Super Tuesday, until Hillary Clinton paid for some chicks to come out and say, he made inappropriate comments, and Herman Cain had to leave the race. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't have a real brother going up against Obama. the first black man elected in history of the United States, you got a real guy who a real conservative and would have been a real good president, like mm-hmm. a Trump type. And then after that, who's going to vote for, what the hell is his name? Come on, Mitt Romney. Mm-hmm. Nobody's voting for him. They have what they have their ways. And I would imagine since, now this 2020 election is going to go full blown, everybody's going to know stolen. They're going to have to change tactics again. So, you know, everybody laughs at AOC for having a fifth grade education and Gavin Newsom for being a Chinese bought, you know, buffoon who completely tanked the fifth largest economy in the world. Well, yeah. And then just remember what happened in 2020. They still got Biden. So we narrowly missed. Everybody said, well, you know, Trump won by a landslide. Well, yeah, but that's just because we had a bunch of sheepdogs watching out for the wolves.
Yeah.
May not happen this time. And especially, you know, in the midterms, if we lose the House and or the Senate, everybody's like, what they call it, accelerationist.
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't be careful what you wish for, brother, because it could get real bad real fast.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, like I said, it's 2.5 years early, but maybe if I put this seed in everybody's mind, they'll think about it and fight, you know, locally. Start at your city council, start at your mayor, start at your sheriff. Make sure you've got good people in at the local level, and then you know, and I had a theory of circles. First, you take care of yourself. Then you take care of your household. Once yourself is good, then you can take care of your household. Then you can take care of your community. Then you can take care of your city, you know, your state, your county, state, you know, on and on and on. But you can't do anything until you are good yourself and local is good. And then you move on from there. So focus on what you can focus on. Yeah. Don't worry about national stuff. If you're a degenerate and, you know, you can't even take care of yourself, you can't take care of anything. So take care of yourself and the rest will follow.
Yeah.
Keep the fight up.
Well, ain't that the truth, my friend? Savage Dog, thank you for calling in as always. We appreciate your time. And, you know, our next caller, too, has elections on their mind as well. Welcome to the show, Dallas. Dallas, can you hear me? Looks like Dallas hung up. Sorry, too much pressure for Dallas over there. Let's turn to Lynn in Chicago. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Yes, Brianna. I've got a question for you. I think you're a natural beauty, and you just look fabulous and well put together, you know. But, you know, most women, it takes them a long time to look like you present yourself every day. And I'm just, my question is, how long does it take you to hit that chair but looking that good?
Lynn, people are going to think I paid you to call in today. Probably like an hour, hour and a half. The curls, that's why we were a little late to the show today because I made everyone wait for me to curl my hair. And so there was that. But Lynn, thank you. I appreciate that compliment.
Well, I was calling about the election. Mm-hmm. You know, I realized that Trump, his first term, he made promises and kept them. And then later, he did not bother to do that, you know. And he just really reverberated what we were saying at the rally, you know, and emphasizing those points. But he never really promised, you know. Mm-hmm. And I want to see candidates that aren't pompous and prideful and, you know, will make a promise and keep it.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? Lynn, what are some of the top issues that you think President Trump should be forced to at this point to follow up on? Because I know that there's many issues. We had to force him on the Epstein stuff because he really wasn't interested in that. But what were some of the other topics that you think or the campaign commitments that he should be pushing forward and making right on?
Well, honestly, I think he's losing some of his focus. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, he needs to be on your diet. Really, you know, he needs to do it. Get himself up to where he, you know, when he took that when he lost the election, we saw him get fat. Then we saw him try to bring himself back. You know, and I think he's getting more informed, you know, physically and mentally, but he's not looking for it. He wants no more on his plate, you know, and as you said, these endorsements that he's making, mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's for them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I think that's a big mistake. Let us choose. It's our election.
Yeah. Well, Lynn, thank you for calling in. And I agree with you. It's really frustrating when you see the primaries get selected by local GOP chairman and obviously the president weighing in. But I mean, I've expressed to so many of you, we talk about it, but I mean, I was considering when I was living in New York running for the state Senate. And you have to get the blessing of the party itself. And that's the problem with all of this is they shouldn't weigh in. Everyone's messages should be platformed equally and let the voters decide. And so, yeah, it's really a frustrating one, I must say. Lynn, thank you for calling into the show. I greatly appreciate it. I want to turn to Steve in Michigan. Steve, welcome to the show. I see you want to talk about Ann Vandersteel, who just joined us a couple of hours ago or an hour ago, I should say.
Yes. Good afternoon. I just want to say thank you for having and in yourself speaking about the situation. For 3 years, we've been trying to get answers. And my question to you is, how can we get accountability for our elected officials, whether it's the Epstein files or MMTLP for a simple share count? When you call these people that are elected for answers, they promise you the world and provide you nothing.
Yeah.
How would you suggest that we get answers for simple share count or just for unredacted files? Or just basic, simple accountability.
Yeah. Well, Steve, your frustration is a frustration that's shared amongst all of us, I feel like, at this point. It's so frustrating that we don't get accountability from these elected officials. And some not elected, but again, they're in charge of investigating these claims. That's why I asked Ann. I said, hey, Ann, when she was getting her report, I'm like, has any of this been looked into, investigated? And she's like, no, it hasn't been. We need a massive overhaul. That's what was supposed to happen with President Trump. And it's really frustrating because I don't think we're going to get that. I think he's doing a good job. But I don't think he's going to go all in on the accountability tour that I've been demanding and been talking about and been very excited about for quite some time here. So, you know, there's that element, Steve, that I think is really, really important for the American people to get access to. But you got to show up to your local county GOP meetings. I mean, that's where it's at. Conservative Party as well. Like, once you start showing your faces and start demanding accountability from them, I mean, they control a lot. And that's the reason why it's just such a, it's a mess. It's a swamp. They get a hand select the people that they want to promote. When it comes to, let's say they finally get brought into Congress, they're elected into Congress after they've gotten the local county's support. They also have a great amount of, I guess we'll just say, weight to throw around when it comes to committee assignments as well. And it's all just so corrupt. It's all just an ego type of thing. But Americans really need to. And Mel Kay, which is also our mutual friend, you know, me, Ann, and Mel, we were all neighbors in South Florida together. Mel is constantly, we have these conversations too, not just on air, but when it's like a beautiful Sunday morning and we're just laying out and hanging out poolside, this is what we actually talk about for fun. So these are great ladies. But, you know, Mel Kay put together an entire book, Americans Anonymous, where she's trying to walk people into the steps, the several steps that you need to take to get involved locally. You know, we keep pushing for that. I mean, everyone needs to get involved on the local level. I talk about it all the time here in Texas. I'm always poking around like, please let me know when there's an event coming up. Please reach out to me because I want to be more involved, and I think that's really important. So, yes, Steve, I think that's the key point to all of this. The local officials need to know that you're watching, you're paying attention, and that you're going to hold them accountable. And I think that's the key element to that. So, Steve, thank you for your call. We greatly appreciate it. Let's turn to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, welcome back to the show, my friend. I hear you want to remember Jesse Jackson.
Yes, but first, Savage Dog, it's a contradiction. Fine Italian dining in Georgia. No, I'm sure there's great. You got to watch My Cousin Vinny because there's reference to that. But truffles, you're not going to catch a Southern gentleman like Savage Dog eating truffles. And sorry, I had to say the guy, Len, that was complimenting you. It was funny because also the contradiction there, he sounds like an older gay gentleman, but he was hitting on you.
Andrew, what if that's a heterosexual man? You just hurt his feelings.
Right. But he's a nice guy, a friendly guy.
I appreciate the compliments.
Jesse was good. And like with Jesse Jackson, too, there's a long connection with Trump. Some I didn't even know about that. A good thing Jesse Jackson did is he wanted to start Black economic empowerment, Black Wall Street. And it was, they reported, I heard today, that it was Donald Trump that donated a building that he owned on Wall Street because he said, you have to be on Wall Street if you want to start Black Wall Street. And Trump won multiple awards from Rosa Parks Awards given to him by Jesse Jackson, presented for job creation in New York City area. And the Rainbow Coalition, Trump gave his Trump Tower space, you know, for free for the meetings. So it was a good connection. But overall, with Jesse Jackson, he represented the far left. So they departed from Martin Luther King, who was a Republican. And you see the damage when the Democrats took over the Black vote. The out-of-wedlock birth rate skyrocketed from 9% to almost 70%. And welfare, you know, jumped up. And they blocked school choice. And it was actually Savage Nation who turned me on to Alex Jones and InfoWars. I heard an interview Alex did with Michael Savage, and he played it, and I started listening to InfoWars every day since that. That was probably like 7 or 8 years ago. And Savage Nation, he said it best. He said it went from I have a dream, Martin Luther King, to I have a scheme, Jesse Jackson. So he had like a shakedown operation and almost got into a physical fight with my father because my father was a union president, local AFL-CIO in Newark just for a short time. And he said Jesse Jackson spoke to the mostly Black audience. And my father was in the back and he was using the term white devil. But he was mostly a shakedown phony, you know, guy. And even I totally – and he helped – ironically, Obama paved the way because he started the process of the first black president running. And again, it was Trump that was his major funder. So ironically, they criticized Trump. But look at all that he did present day with prison reform and school choice and the Platinum Plan, which is startup loans. But it was Trump that was Jesse Jackson's, one of his big funders for president, which helped then Obama years later when he ran, because he kind of, Jesse Jackson set the stage. But it was mostly shakedown stuff and big liberal policies that blew up. And I even call it straight, like with Trump and Jesse Jackson, they were both working, you know, they were like running for, he was obviously running for office, and Jesse Jackson would promote Trump, you know, like it was phony. Like you could see the phony when they praised each other, like Jesse Jackson would almost tear up. And, you know, so they were both like benefiting from each other. But just interesting mixed history. But it was a lot of badness, you know, that like he was like the Black Lives Matter of the era. Very different than the Republican Reverend Dr. King. But thanks. And that's a little history. Thanks. Take care.
All right. Andrew always dropping some little fact bombs on the show as he calls in, as he always does, and we appreciate just that. Let's turn to Bragan in Wisconsin. Welcome to the show.
I have been talking with Alex for over 20 years, and actually they offered me a job. I have written several articles for InfoWars Free Speech Systems, and put them on the wall of my restroom in my restaurant, and people would slash them and tear them off. And, well, anyway, that's not the point. My point is going to be about women's health. And thank you, by the way, for having awesome hairstyles coming back, because those early 2000 weird angular haircuts, oh my God, any red-blooded man is not gonna like that. So, by the way,
before you jump into this, I love it how it's the men who call into our show who are the biggest fashionistas that we have on the program. So thank you for that. I love it.
No, it's awesome. And my sweetie, who was she graduated at high school at 14. And then promptly sought after by modeling companies and the FBI to be a profiler, neither of which did she do, thank God. And she can't watch her show live because she is working at a conservative news outlet when you're on.
Oh.
And she likes your blue dress.
Aw, thank you.
And I wanted to talk about, pasta, by the way. If anyone can find sweet potato pasta, not from China, get it. It'll save in your fridge for a long time and still be firm. I just wanted to mention that.
I love it.
In the restaurant business for a long time. I wanted to just briefly touch on, she has friends, she's younger than I am. She has friends who have not had their normal cycle in a long time, and they're not old enough to be going through menopause, and they're not pregnant. And I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that, because maybe there's the shedding issue, I don't know, or something in the water. But I use Alexa Pure Pro from Alex, and so it can't be that. But do you think that there is some sort of correlation with DFA, we call it death from above, spring chemtrails, blah blah blah, or do you think there is any 5G issue?
Well, Bragan, I've got 20 seconds, so let me get this in before we go. And I appreciate you calling into the show. Yeah, I know, I 1,000% think so. Also, the vaccines that they've been pushing onto the American people, it's quite clear that they've been used to sterilize so many women. And we also saw them do their very best to suppress women from posting on social media, things like Meta, platforms like Meta, to make sure you didn't find out that information. Folks, if you're on hold right now, stay put. We got more to discuss in just a bit.
I
have told the folks at Bigley, I said, I want to have the widest selection of combat daggers, trench knives, folding knives, you name it. They're high-quality brands you buy in bulk that are very competitively priced. And then support the broadcast, because I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in. And they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives that I went out and told them what brands I liked, what was going on, and they were able to get it. And so a bunch of the knives that sold out a few months ago, they're back in. And then these bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. This is a great knife. This knife sells in stores for $75 all day long. We're selling it for 40-something and even bigger discounts, up to 50% off right now. Some of these knives are as low as $20 a piece. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. Go there now. We've got also the murdered out black, and I love how it's that kydex, and it's got that real fine engraving on it, so it gives you that great feeling, that great, because I got sent hundreds of knives from dozens of companies, and I'm the one that chose all these. And these are from really good companies, really good quality. And it's just a great deal. And so do your knife shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. But let me tell you what's back in stock. We have the new ones, Alex Jones Blackout Folding Knife, 7.65 assisted opening folding knife, 3.5 high carbon Damascus blade, 1095 plus 515N20. This is all quality. D2 steel, black PVD coating, and stonewash finish, 3.3 millimeter black thickness, black G10 handle for a secure grip, 15.5 millimeter handle thickness for confident hand feel, ball bearing pivot system for smooth deployment. I mean, it's a nice quality knife. All black, blackout finish, I call it murdered out, fast, decisive, assisting, operating, limited production, live before it sells out. And then we've got the same knife, but it's silver blade folding knife. If you like that, it's got a nice little hook on the end so you can tie it to things. The forest green folding knife that is my close second, really a sexy knife. Same as the other one. It's just got that forest green. Call it forest. It's kind of like an in-between forest and olive, but it's nice. Kind of Border Patrol. I call it Border Patrol green. Let's change the name, Border Patrol green. That's actually what it is. This bad boy, these all sold out, but they always hold back a few hundred in case orders come in later or whatever. So tip of the spear, Spartan, trench knife with brass knuckles, murdered out, and the skull crusher, a few hundred of those. They held back a few of these. It had sold out, but there's about 200 left. The Velize Fire with this beauty limited edition, that funds the operation as well. It's a little different. The skull crusher is as big. Alex Jones Phantom folding knife, this has been sold out. They only got 500 of these the first run, sold out in one day. It is packed. They got 1,000 of them, and it's just a great knife, really sleek and really strong, very well made. And you've got it in orange, Alex Jones Burnt Orange folding knife. I like that. Now we've got the Alex Jones Ring Blade. This sold out the quickest last time. That's an amazing product, and they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue. And take advantage of the very best supplements in the world. We'll be right back. Thanks for funding the Second American Revolution worldwide.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us. Final lap of the third hour. We're going to be diving into calls. If you want to join the show, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. By the way, the control room just told me there's one of you out there who keeps calling in to say that I'm saying the word frustrated wrong. So now I'm just going to keep doing it. Frustrated, frustrated, frustrated. Frustrating, whatever gets you triggered. There you have it. There you have it. Let's go back to the calls. Let's get to Wild in Wisconsin. Wild, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Brianna. Hey. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. I don't want to repeat myself,
mean, repeat the other callers and do more compliments. So I'll just ditto the previous callers. They kind of ruined my beginning segment of the call, but that's okay. I don't want to repeat things. You know, repeating things, people will get upset.
Don't worry about it, Waddle. Do your thing. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I wanted to bounce an idea off you about a possibility of a third political party in the future if stuff doesn't pan out well. Woodchipper Party, mm-hmm. and we'd run on putting the Epstein monsters into the woodchipper because we can't live with these people in the same society as us. You know, people are complaining about these videos and the screams of the children and little girls.
Yeah.
And it's like Jones and many other people have been screaming in the wilderness for years and years. And a lot of people are just yellow-bellied cowards that they wouldn't do anything, even though we were telling them that this was happening. And the responsibility and blood is also on their hands for letting this continue to happen. We're seeing only records from the late 2010s and early 2010s, but this stuff was going on in the 90s, in the 80s, has been going on probably for thousands of years. And the critical shot of this time around is that we got the receipts. Mm-hmm. We got the receipts with this time around, hard evidence, and these emails just prove without a doubt. And I'm wondering, where the hell is the NSA? Where the hell is the CIA with all the technology that the U.S. taxpayers paid for getting criminals, all this advanced surveillance technology they have, they only use on the citizenry, but they're not going to use it against these monsters.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Delta Force and Special Forces should have been out since Trump got in, hunting these people down and bringing them in front of everybody. You know, and Trump would be hailed as a hero for a long time for putting an end to this barbarism that is corrupting like a mold this entire planet with negative energy from the screams of these tortured children that's still probably going on right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has to stop. So I think that if one party, Democrat or Republican or whoever, doesn't do, we need to start a new party, and everything else can just be on the back burner until then. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm game for this. I think that these people need to be put into the wood chipper, of course, after a fair trial. But the reality of it is, yeah, I'm fired up that we continue to have these conversations. I think it's the one main core issue that those on the left and the right can agree on, and that is the people that commit acts like this are the worst of the worst of society, and we don't have place for that in our world. And that needs to be the message, and it needs to be a strong message. It's pure evil. I mean, I've had to previously dive into the dark web for things before, and the level of just the evil, the demons who brew in those areas, I mean, it is just absolutely devastating. So I'll give you that. I'm frustrated at the fact that they are just so dismissive, this administration. They're dismissive about people, and they're dismissive about all of this. I cringe when I hear the word, this is a hoax. I cringe at that. And, you know, I would love an alternative from the Republican Party, because I do think that they're a bunch of spineless cowards for the most part. But third-party systems or three-party systems don't really work out well. We're seeing what's going on in Canada, too, multi-parties. It just never really goes well. It's also brought a lot of liberal and communist individuals to power. So I don't know. I don't know if a third party would be good for this, but I'll tell you something wild. The wood chippers where these people need to go. So I like where you're going with this. And I think it's an absolute disgrace that Republicans are participating in the cover up, as we were told that they were all fine, that they weren't participating in anything related to Epstein. And yet here we are. Wild, thank you for calling in. I appreciate you calling in as you always do. So thank you.
You're welcome. Have a nice day.
You as well. Thank you, Wild. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's turn to Jay in Pennsylvania. Jay, I hear you have carnivore diet related comments you like to make. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, you can hear me okay?
A little bit. It sounds very far. So for our audio only members, if you're on speaker, if you could take us off a speaker, because it might be tough for those listening radio to hear in.
Yeah, I'll do that. Hold on. But anyway, when I was on the carnivore diet before I went on a cruise, I was down to 202 pounds. And then I went on a cruise, and I fell into the buffet, and I end up leaving there at 217. And once you start eating those carbs, it's no good. But presently, I take more of the supplements from Alex Jones's store than you can imagine. I'm a VIP member. I just buy them all and I eat them all. And I was up to 240 and I'm back down to 225, 227. And I've been also putting into my diet that benbendazole and the ivermectin, trying to think maybe that I'm, because I wanted to buy the, they have that at Alex's show, store, they had the gut cleanse, but they were out of it. But anyway, I'm also taking that trizepatide shot. I'm a truck driver, and I get a little frustrated with the fact that I see these big, heavy people, and I don't want to end up like that, you know. So, but the carnivore diet was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem with the carnivore diet is the girlfriend that I have. She sets me up with all these. I bought these Pyrex bowls, and she's Filipino, and she can cook. And so she fills up the bowls before I leave. But right now I got a bunch of corned beef and cabbage, which I like cabbage. And but the pasta, how can you not like pasta? So I got some of that too. And but I got steaks, and I got pork chops and bacon and chicken and fish. And I cook it on an air fryer in the truck. It works out pretty good. But like the biggest deterrent to eating food is probably when I see somebody getting in and out of a tractor trailer with these ankles, where you can't tell where the ankle and the calf meat. I'm talking. I don't even know how they pass their DOT physical.
Yeah.
So I suggest people watch what they eat. And the food in America, yeah, it might taste good, but it's no good.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. And Jay, you know, as a trucker, I can't even imagine what you have to deal with. I mean, I know because I do a lot of driving myself, but I mean, I stop all the time in and out here in Texas. I always get the protein style where it's no bread. It's just the meat, cheese, vegetables, if you want those, and nothing else. But I mean, there's really no healthy options too. So it's a tough one for those who are on the road. So, Jay, thank you for sharing your secrets to that. I think it's really important. Did you have something else you wanted to say before we?
You know, that shot that I'm taking, it kind of makes you feel full, right? And so you're constantly feeling like you want to gag a little bit, right?
What but shot really, are you referring to?
The trizepatide.
Okay, got it.
GLP-1. But I don't know if it's from the shot or from, and I'm not putting the show down, but I listen to this show, and the good things I get excited about, the bad things, they make me want to laugh a little bit, you know? And you know who I would love to have you interview, and or Alex, and that. And I have my favorite show. That guy Dave from the X-22 on the Rumble there. Mm-hmm. I would love to have you have him on your show, or Alex have, just because, like Alex is not a doomsday guy. He's straight. You know, this is good, this is bad. You're straight. This is good, this is bad. Mm-hmm. And that guy Dave, sometimes he's, you know, he says this is good and this is bad, but he's a very positive minded individual when it comes to Trump. And sometimes it's a little sickening, but in the same, but it gives me a little hope sometimes. I really wish that this country would get in order, you know. I mean, these eating people and having babies, this is horrible, and this is only some of what of those 3 million that files that they have or whatever it is. I mean, Alex is, I think, right. You should just put it all on the table. This is the way it is. And go and lock these.
Yeah, I think we lost you, Jay. But Jay, no, I mean, it's very fascinating. We'll definitely look into that. So thank you so much for calling into the show. Let's head over to Mike in St. Louis. Mike, here you also want to talk about your personal health journey as well. So welcome to the show. Mike, you still with us? All right. Sounds like we have a little bit of an issue with the phones going on right now. But before we get back to the lines, if you're on hold too, by the way, don't go anywhere. We'll still take calls. But what I wanted to dive into is there's a bit breaking news. It looks like Politico, and I have not yet confirmed this myself, so I'm going based off of a Politico report. But Politico is claiming that Trisha McLaughlin, who is the spokesperson for DHS, that she apparently is leaving next week. Now, this is devastating news for me because I truly love Trisha McLaughlin. She's done an incredible job at leading the communications team over at DHS. You've probably seen her. She does all these shows. She's very well-spoken. She, you know, cuts the hearts of liberals. They don't really like her too much because she's so direct. She's so intelligent, and she's quick on her feet. So the news of Trisha McLaughlin now leaving DHS, according to Politico, is very devastating news. I truly have appreciated Trisha McLaughlin, all the incredible work that she's done over at DHS. Again, I mean, I don't know if you guys could just for a second compare what happened to me under the last administration. Let's just compare DHS. When I would reach out for comment, DHS would often ignore me under the Biden regime. And in fact, one day, one very, not very intelligent employee actually forwarded me an internal email from DHS accidentally by referring to me as a non-favorable reporter. And we're trying to train staff to how they respond to me when I reach out for requests for comments. And they don't actually respond. That was kind of the environment that was happening over at DHS under the last administration. But it quickly changed, and it's thanks to Trisha McLaughlin. Trisha McLaughlin was very aggressive in making sure that I was getting my responses. And if I ever had an issue, she would be the first one I'd reach out to, and she'd prioritize the team to get back to me. And I have to say, DHS, their communication team, has done an incredible job. And so if this is true, and again, we'll see in just a second, but if Politico is accurate, and again, we tread lightly on that, and Trish McLaughlin is leaving DHS, and that is a massive loss for DHS. She has done an incredible job at pushing a lot of the information out there and trying her best to be as quick as she can. I mean, there was one time when I reached out for a comment regarding a story that I was looking to report to you all at home, and I got a response back from Trisha McLaughlin and her team, like an actual quote, in less than 5 minutes. I mean, it is unheard of. Her work ethic is unmatched. And if this is true, Trisha McLaughlin leaving DHS will probably be one of the worst things to happen at DHS in quite some time. And I look forward to following her wherever she goes next, if this report's true. And, you know, we'll keep you on the know. But again, devastating news that Trisha McLaughlin is leaving DHS. I'm telling you, folks, not only is she based, but she's also one of the incredible individuals trying to get the correct messaging out as to what DHS and ICE agents are doing behind the scenes. And so she will be deeply, deeply missed over at DHS. But I'm sure she's working something great up her sleeve. So I will continue to follow her and keep you in the know. But I want to also shift gears to this, because this was also just posted by Nancy Mace. Nancy Mace, actually, this is quite strange. She just posted, it looks like Jeffrey Epstein had multiple aliases. But most importantly, he had one when he was living in Saudi Arabia. This is the passport that she has just actually posted online. It's not his name, though. It's Marcus Robert Frutini. I don't even know how you would pronounce that, so excuse my butchering of that. But this appears to be another passport that Epstein had. And, of course, he's not using his real name. Now, why would someone need an item like that in their possession? It's a real head-scratcher, of course, unless you've been watching InfoWars and you know, and we all know, there's a lot of suspicious things. Folks, I think you guys blew up the lines when we had you calling in. Right now, we're obviously trying to fix it. My team's on it right now. We've got the best of the best on the ball with that one. But if you're on hold, stay put. Hopefully, we get the calls back going. I think, you know, you guys were just way too nice, way too complimentary, and you might have just blew up the lines for that purpose. But now we'll try our very best to get that back up and running, and we'll bring you some more callers when we do just that. Let's turn to this. This is a story in Virginia. And Virginia's turned into such a dump when it comes to legislation. Over these last few months, they've posted a lot of legislation is making its way through. And obviously, it's got a process to follow through. But you have all these radical left-wing terrorists who are now inside the legislature over in Virginia. And they're pushing forward they're pushing forward a lot. And this one also, I'll say this in a second, but it's Virginia Senate Bill 624, and it's being sponsored by a Muslim based in Fairfax County. He's proposing a specific definition of Islamophobia. Now, I hate that word. It's one of those words that I just roll my eyes at. They've really done an incredible job of trying to swing this is an issue, but this bill does eliminate or establish, sorry, this bill does not establish a new crime or altering penalties, but instead creates a subcategory for data collection and reporting within the Department of State Police's hate crimes. So that's what they're looking to do. They're looking to get the actual statistics as to those who maybe say something that might offend a Muslim. They want to capture those crime stats. Now, here's the thing, right? If we're playing fair and balanced, there's been a lot of anti-Semitic legislation that's been pushed through, and I'm against that as well. I mean, we don't need to create special laws for special people. We should all be able to say what we want to say. Obviously, free speech is important, and let society handle it if there's anything else that's said that might be deemed as improper. But Islamophobic is not a real thing, and I want to be very clear about that. It's not a real thing. It's not a real thing. It looks like, do we have the calls back on? They're testing that for you guys. All right. So if you were on hold and you want to call back, I mean, I only got 7 minutes left, so I don't want to bother too many of you, but we had to reboot everything. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. That is 877-789-2539. That is the number to call. I see our first caller that we do have back on the line is Chris. So let's turn to Chris. Chris, here it's your first time calling into the show, so welcome. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brenna. So I just wanted to first start by saying that you are a very beautiful woman.
Aw, Chris. And, thank you. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you.
Yes, ma'am. And also, so I take like basically every supplement in the Alex Jones store. So I just wanted to give a shout out to that. My life is like completely changed since I've been taking these supplements, my sleep, my just everything,
like
my mental focus. And yeah, so I'm a little nervous because it's my first time calling in. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure I gave you that compliment because you are a very beautiful woman. And also, with all the Epstein files coming out and with all of this stuff, you know, like obviously, like some people, I feel like people who like don't have Jesus as their savior and don't have Christ in their heart, like I feel like they can't really handle it. And so do you think that with the release of the Epstein files, do you think that basically the world's kind of going to go crazy in a sense?
Yeah. Well, first off, thank you for your compliments. I truly appreciate it. And for our audience at home right now, just a little friendly reminder, it's 52% off the AlexJonesStore.com. So Chris, if you or anyone else, you know, now's the time to stock up. These are the best savings that I've seen thus far. And so I just wanted to add that out there since you were so kind enough to, recommend this to our audience as well. Now, when it comes to the Epstein files in itself, I mean, I'm hoping it's an awakening moment for so many Americans who don't realize what's happening. You know, Chris, you're well aware that a lot of people who floated the ideas of Pizzagate and the fact that we had this elitist group of individuals who were pedophiles going out there and targeting children, it was dismissed as a crazy thought, and it's what they do quite often. I think now people who are going to see it at best, and this is what I'm really hopeful for, they're going to realize that, wait a minute, these people got it right. And maybe I was wrong for being so dismissive on these fronts. And I truly hope that there is an awakening moment for the rest of the folks in this country where they see what's happened and they no longer want to be a part of the cover-up. And the cover-up is as simple as just being dismissive and pretending like you're crazy for wanting to file the facts in all of this. I mean, this is a moment that all Americans should be really upset about. And Chris, I want to thank you for calling in as a first-time caller. And folks, if you're on hold right now, we've got 4 minutes left, so I'm going to try to get to as many as we can. But Chris, I really hope it's an awakening moment for so many Americans, and I truly, truly do hope that. So thank you again. I greatly appreciate that, and I appreciate you calling in for the first time. Hopefully we have you back on soon. Let's turn to Mike in St. Louis. I hear Mike's back on the line. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks. It might be tough to get it in with the few minutes remaining, but you mentioned glyphosate, so I figured I'd call in and share you know, an experience I had that I believe it played a role in.
Yeah.
But if we go back to maybe probably about 3 years ago, you know, I'd say 5 years ago, my faith journey started. And Anyhow, I was praying that, that God would help me show friends, family, and those willing to listen the truth about health and healing and fasting. And right after that, I panicked because I had kind of a vision, that being that he would show them through me. Now, mind you, at the time, I was athletic, fit, perfectly healthy, no issues. So anyhow, I went on with my day, kind of forgetting about that. And the next day I wake up with vision issues. Later to find out it turned out to be double vision as it progressed. Literally one eye was jetting off to the side, so I would project two different images. And then it progressed over time to, like, weakness in the extremities to where it was, like, full-body weakness, couldn't even open a door. And I think I'm, like, 39 at the time. So I go to the doctors, go through the process of a few months to eventually get diagnosed with something called myasthenia gravis. So at that time, I also pursued, like, the functional health route. And I did that in conjunction with a neurologist to find a parasite and leaky gut markers.
Oh.
So from there, I did a bunch of fasting. I did multi-day and an intermittent every day. Did full keto, full organic. And I'd say a couple weeks post-parasite treatment and the fasting, then the symptoms just, they went away.
Wow. Well, that's fascinating too. Well, and I think it's like our whole system is just so bad, Mike, and it's so infuriating. The glyphosate thing is like one of the, one I think the most, the biggest battle to take on. I think we all should be doing that right now. I mean, that's, I think it's the purpose of it's for weeds, if I'm not mistaken. And it's one of the many things that, that results in lawsuits piling up and stacking up. And so I love hearing a story, and I'm constantly telling people, and I've got to do this again because I haven't done it in, it's probably been like 2 years. One of the best things you could also do is getting your hormones checked as well, especially for women. I mean, most people don't even realize a lot of the stuff that we're dealing with medical wise could also just be your hormones being out of whack.
And
yeah. And Mike, it's incredible. You know, again, this is probably, you know, you were just saying that you were praying and you were hopeful that, you know, there'd be this avenue created for you so you could talk about these things. I mean, that's definitely what you went with.
Yeah, I'm truly grateful. Truly grateful for the experience. I mean, it was a horrible experience. It was many months, but truly grateful.
Yeah.
And it's worth noting, no vaccines in 20 years. I imagine people are wondering that.
Yeah.
Been listening to Alex for over 20 years. So didn't touch it, but couldn't tell you what did it other than what I discovered and, you know, the prayer.
Yeah. Well, we love to hear that, and it's a great way actually to end today's show. So, Mike, thank you for calling in on that note, and thank you for calling back in on that note. We're very grateful for you for calling in and giving us that information, because, folks, we all could use a little bit of hope and a little bit of being optimistic, is the word. So thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. Folks, if you're on hold right now, I am so sorry we ran out of time. We will try, of course, to get back to taking callers throughout the week, so I hope I see you guys on the lines down the line for the rest of the week. But folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It is 52% off site wide, and it is going to end in just a few hours. So you got to stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the shop. It's a great time to stock up. I know so many of you guys are loving our products over there, methylene red, methylene blue. I can't stop talking about those energy shots. You got to try it for yourself. And now's a great time to do just that. It's never been available at this discounted rate before. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and grab your energy shot today. All right, that does it for me. The Alex Jones Show is next.
I see through a rose-colored darkly. That means I'm trying to tell you the truth, but I'm not always right just about 98% of the time. And bad guys of every stripe don't want this show on the air. But you're the good guys. You have to decide, hey, this guy's a fighter. This guy stood up for this. This guy has an incredible track record. We want to support him. And then I'm going to sell you something that really works so you love it and you get it again and again. And Bigly, our great sponsor, those at TheAlexJonesStore.com. No matter what happens, InfoWars, we continue on the Alex Jones Network that's been built. So key. Said, Alex, you keep getting it wrong. We don't have 84% reorder on ultramethylene blue. We don't have 76% reorder on the supplements and average. You're reading that wrong. That's on total customers. We have a 97%
reorder from anybody that orders at TheAlexJones.com. Well, that's a testament to you guys out there supporting us and how great the products are. Nobody, I mean, a site that has a 20% reorder is seen as successful. That is you being steadfast supporters, and I want to thank you. So we're running the biggest sale of the year right now, over 50% off on ultramethylene blue, on the bovine colostrum, on the new methylene red that's proprietary to us, on the Shilajit complex, the Irish sea moss, atomic defense, and more. But it's only running until next Monday. Got 6 days to take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Takes money to fight a war. We're fighting a war. Plus, the products are great. So please get yours now. Over 50% off, but it's an alert. Only a few days left. Thank you so much.